listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Get off my cloud. You don't know me and you don't know my style. Who'll be getting flamed when they come to the jam? Here I am, the Method Man. Patty cake, hey, the Method Man.
Don't eat Skippy, Jif or Peter Pan, peanut butter because I'm not butter. In fact, I snap back like rubber band. I be Sam, Sam I am. I don't eat green eggs and ham.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
That's right. And we are coming to you live on a Wednesday night. A very special Wednesday because it's time to discuss Game of Thrones, everybody's favorite. And of course, as always, you know, we try to reach out to different folks and get them on the show. And to be honest, I was not aware that these two niggas even watch Game of Thrones, even though we talk pretty much on a regular weekly basis. it just randomly dropped. We was having a nerd discussion on a Nerd Off where you would think Game of Thrones comes up every week, but it don't. And randomly they said some shit that made them sound current. I was like, hold up, you into this shit too? We could have been hanging out a long time ago. First of all, the first voice you heard was Aaron from the Black Astronauts Podcast Network. What's going on, man?
What's good, man? It's not long time no talk,
right? It feel like it's been at least 2 days.
I know, right?
If you guys follow Aaron's podcast, Black Astronauts Network, Black Astronauts Podcast Network, we were over there and we did their recap for watching Game of Thrones, and we had a good time on Monday.
Yes, we did.
If you heard it already, you might hear a couple recycled jokes because you know, can't write all new material in 2 days, but
come on.
But if not, you know, you get to hear us talk to other people about it who had their own jokes, and as always with these conversations, different things popped up, different observations, and I think y'all like it. And then of course the other voice you should recognize is my man Chris from the Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast Network. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, folks. What's going on?
Great, man. Glad you could be here. Another person that got caught up on Game of Thrones. I knew he had said like I'm gonna start watching it, but he just must have caught up on the low because we were talking, and one day I was like, "That shit just happened last week, Chris. What are you talking about?"
you know what it is. I don't, because I didn't watch the first 5 seasons of everybody else. I binged that, and so last season I watched it live. Here's the thing. Because of all the stuff we record and stuff and talk about, sometimes I just like watching things and not letting people know.
Right.
and this is one of those shows. Like even now, I don't live tweet it. I don't discuss it very much, but I'm up on everything. So I watch it. I like to have that one little moment of peace sometimes.
Yeah, I have a few shows like that myself, man. I watched all the 12 Monkeys like a couple weeks ago. And I did the same thing. I just watched it, didn't tweet about it. Really enjoyed it. I watched, well, every week that I watch Legends, I can't really tweet about Legends of Chamberlain Heights, but that's different. but yeah, sometimes you need something to keep to yourself. You know what I mean? but yeah, check out both their networks, man. I always feel weird saying this, but it's like, if you're listening to us and not listening to them, that seems very weird, but you should at least have tried them by now. So please go listen. Like,
yes,
what 5 years, 6 years,
right? It's almost like, what the fuck else would it take? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not coming to your house and blowing anybody to get y'all to listen to your shows. But we could not recommend each other's shows high enough, man. So please go check out their shows, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you like us, there's no way you won't love them too. And of course, you know, it's the Blackout Tips. iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, find us all those places. Leave us 5-star reviews. We'll read them on the air if they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball.
Extreme.
Extreme. Correct. And today, today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. We have a couple audio play albums. Go check them out. They're on iTunes. They're on Amazon. They're also on Tidal and Spotify. Just search for Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, or you can search for The Best of Rod and Karen. We have a couple of albums that out there. Listen to them, rate them, review them, buy them, whatever you can do to help us out. We appreciate everybody that takes the time out to do that. it, you know, it helps you out. And this is a free endorsement that they didn't ask for or anything, but I just have to tell y'all about the goodness of this. This episode is brought to you also by Dr. Wood's Pure Castile Peppermint Soap with Organic Shea Butter. 32 ounce is what I get on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you guys something. That thing makes your balls feel so good. I don't even know what the fuck they are putting in it, but like specifically ball taint region. I don't know how it works for ladies. It's amazing. And I mean, everybody should have this feeling in their life at least once. So I'm never going back to normal soap. I don't even know what normal soap is no more. You can get it the fuck out of my house. Yep. I don't know. So yeah, make sure y'all get Dr. Wood's Pure Castile Peppermint Soap with Organic Shea Butter. It right in. Tell us about your experiences. It's no way that you will not feel like $1 million. I guess that Raheem Devine, we read about peppermint soap groupie tail. It was right. That shit was right. I laughed, but that's because I didn't know. Okay, guys? Now I know, and it's amazing. Okay?
Yeah, so just so you guys know, Rod just asked you guys to write into the show.
Yes.
To tell him how smooth your balls feel after using this.
Somebody else got to know, Chris. Okay? Each one teach one.
So you ain't the only one.
I can't be alone in this. This is like the third time I used it, and I was like, okay, the first time I thought maybe I had, I don't know if something happened. Like, I don't know if I just used I don't know. But the third time I was like, the first time was a little shocking, to be honest with you. And I didn't take a shower with that soap for like a couple more days. I was like, I'm gonna finish this other soap. Then the second time I was like, you know what, I can get used to this. And this, the third time,
this is one of the church moments where you gotta tap your neighbor on the shoulder and let them know.
Yeah, man, that's fine. The third time I became a apostle. I said, listen, I need to get out here and spread the word. Okay. People walking around with their balls not feeling minty fresh. Like, if your balls not feeling minty fresh right now, like, what are you really on, dog?
What is your life about?
Are you still taking them 2016 showers? No, dog. We on some 2017 shit, dog. Get your balls feeling fresh, dog. It feel like whenever you bite into a York peppermint patty, but for your balls. And it's so good.
Your girl,
y'all about
thank
to have
you.
Hair just breaking up and shit. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying.
Woman, you use my peppermint soap?
Yeah, I don't know what how it does for women. Karen never used my soap, but I don't know what it does for women. I know what it does for me. Okay, and I'm here to tell y'all, y'all need to get up on this shit.
Somebody said new year, new balls.
Right, it's about to. I know this shit about to go out of stock. I almost didn't tell y'all because I don't want the price of the brick to go up on Amazon. But you know what, y'all my peoples. If y'all fuck with this show, that y'all need to know about this. I don't know if it work on white people and they balls. It is black African soap. Okay, so shout out to DeRay. I'm more militant to him because of my soap selection.
Oh,
but,
Lord.
Just know that this shit will have your balls feeling nice. Okay. You're gonna be super confident at work.
strong enough for a hoe tip, but maybe yeah. for the woke. Like,
that's a good one.
We not start this off.
And if y'all hoe tip, hopefully it'll smell the ash away.
That's what it should do. That's what the ash should be. Like,
well, that's what the peppermint's for, because you know, hoe tips ain't trying to have their balls smelling all quote unquote girly.
Right.
So yeah, that's what the peppermint's for, yo. So that'll yeah, that's what that shit is.
You walk in the shower and you be like, man, these Negro bed witches. Then you walk out and you be like, black feminism is the truth. Like, it's like, it's the only way, man. Dr. Woods.
Life changing.
Mm-hmm. So y'all,
defeating patriarchy one peppermint ball at a time.
One at a time.
Somebody say it's called Dr. Woods now.
Yeah, your girl will thank you. Or man, I don't know what y'all into. Somebody who had to be around your balls will thank you.
Come on.
And if not, you can thank yourself, okay? Balls are feeling fresh, okay?
New balls, who this?
Right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, man, we got all kinds of stuff to cover here. And, you know, this is the show that when people hear, oh my God, they're Blackout Tips, they're reviewing Game of Thrones again, they get super excited. They be like, oh shit, my niggas, they back. And all the white people come flooding back because they super greedy for that Game of Thrones content. But, you know, first we gotta talk about fucking with black people, guys. All right? Let's play the song. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe. We find different articles, make us feel fucked with as black people, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Everybody's back in the house for fucking with black people. Solange slammed white supremacists before deleting her Twitter.
A whole account?
Yeah. I like the idea of talking shit about white supremacists and being like, y'all niggas ain't about to harass me in my mentions.
Come on.
Like, deal with it. I said what I said. That's the ultimate. I said what I said. Mm-hmm. Solange Knowles deleted her Twitter account Tuesday night after sharing a message with her fans about the recent racial unrest in Virginia and North Carolina. It started with Knowles tweeted an announcement letting fans know she was leaving the platform. Deleting my Twitter soon, but before I dip, when we gonna pull up? She said, and what we got to do to get my new hero Takiya Thompson free. The hero Knowles was referring to as a 22-year-old college student who was arrested for pulling down a Confederate statue in Durham, North Carolina this week. Knowles deleted her Twitter account shortly thereafter and then posted a separate message as to her Instagram story. The singer and activist seemed distraught by the attacks in Charlottesville. A lot of black people are. But also sounded more resolved than ever to make a difference. Been trying to study myself / been trying to practice self-preservation during this time and not give racist ugly ass fuck boys who reek of citronella my energy so that I can preserve my spirit to perform this album, she said. Fuck white supremacists, fuck Nazis, fuck your stale ass bland ass monuments. She ended with her concerns for her 12-year-old son's education. Thinking about demanding he not be required to take American history, in quotes, she said, because it's a deep, dark root of ugliness continues to live right now, right before our eyes.
Come on.
Yep. 0 to 100, Karen.
I'm not bothered.
All right. Chris?
0.
Aaron?
If there was a way to give negative points, I would give those.
Yeah. So. Yep. I give it a 0 as well.
I just say that I think that's smart to do, because when you delete your Twitter, you're not really deleting your Twitter. You're just kind of like disabling your account. So you can talk all that shit, disable your account, and then come back, you know, in a couple of weeks and they forgot about you. Mm. That's some smart ass shit to do. That's mm-hmm. what she did. She'll be back on Twitter. She'll be back.
Because I think Twitter has it where it even holds your account for like a month or some shit if you just log back in. So, yeah, you're right. That is smart. I mean, what they going to do? Let's see. Springfield police officer marks protesters run down by car in Charlottesville on a Facebook post. A Springfield police officer has mocked the anti-racism demonstrators who were run down by the during a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia on Saturday, applauding the fatal crash in a Facebook post. Ha 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 ha, love this. Maybe people shouldn't block roads. Wrote Conrad LaRivière in a comment on a news article about the crash. LaRivière confirmed that he is a patrolman in a Facebook conversation with Mass Live, and he expressed remorse for what he described as a stupid comment about people blocking streets. Is that what it was really about? Mm-hmm. I just really hate people blocking streets, guys. You know me. It's really like my pet peeve. Never would I want someone to get murdered. I am not a racist, and I don't believe in what any of those protesters are doing, he said. I'm a good man who made a stupid comment and would just like to be left alone. You know who else would like to be left alone? The people that are protesting. They would like to exercise their right without getting ran over by cars. Springfield Police Commissioner John Barbieri said the department has launched an investigation into the comments. He confirmed that an officer named Conrad LaRivière is employed by the department. I received notification of this Facebook post earlier today via email from a complainant. The post is purportedly from a Springfield police officer. I took immediate steps to initiate a prompt and thorough internal investigation, Barbieri wrote. If in fact this post did originate from an officer employed with the Springfield Police Department, this matter will be reviewed by the Community Police Hearings Board for further action. Yeah, they always gotta do that research. Yeah, so they went into like what happened at the protest. The dude that got arrested. The original post, including La Riviere's comments, have since been deleted. But Mass Live reviewed multiple screenshots of the comments and confirmed their contents with people who viewed the exchange. And another comment on the Facebook post, he expressed doubt about that the driver, who at the time had not been identified, was a Nazi. How do you know he was a Nazi scumbag? Stop being part of the problem, he wrote. Gotta wait for more information, guys. But Fields was photographed at the rally carrying a wooden shield of a Vanguard America, which is a white supremacist organization that bills itself on Twitter as the face of American fascism. And one of Fields' high school teachers told the Washington Post that he was a white supremacist and appeared fascinated with Nazism as a teenager. La Riviere berated another Facebook commenter who criticized his post. I've been hit by a shitbag with warrants, but who cares, right? You ignorant brat live in a fantasy land with the rest of America while I deal with the real danger, he wrote. And that's who we need on these streets. If I call 911, that's who's going to show up. Karen, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
All right. Chris?
Oh, yeah, 100.
Aaron?
100.
100. I got to give it 100 as well, man. Shout out to being part of the problem, as he says. Guess I'm part of the problem. All right, we can get into Game of Thrones now that we've all been properly temped down. Let me get ready to play Cuda's music. Like I said, you guys won't be able to hear it through Skype, but I'm about to play the theme song in a second, and then we'll start. So here we go. This week's episode was called East Watch. It's episode 5 of the 7 that we're getting. And
two more episodes?
Yeah, 2 more episodes. Wow. And it got the highest ratings of the series ever. 10.72 million people watched this. Mm-hmm. This is with multiple hacks and all kinds of shit. People don't give a fuck.
Mm-mm. People are just watching twice. A lot of people are.
Yeah. So this show is continuing to take off. A lot of stuff happened in this show. I'll go to you, Karen, first. What were your overall thoughts about this episode?
Oh, I loved it. I'm just simple. I just love everything about the show.
All right. Aaron, what about you, man?
Felt like the story building was real good. So I really love this episode.
Cool, man. Chris?
Yes, I'm here. I think the story building was really good. I know some people felt like it was a letdown, but like after you have a big battle in a episode, how do you follow that up, like, in terms of action wise? So story building, though, there's a lot crammed into this episode.
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of setup
and callbacks this first season.
A lot of setups and callbacks, which I'm assuming most episodes will have some. Now, I mean, we're nearing the end. I mean, there's value to tying these strings up. I also enjoyed it tremendously. It was weird because it was the first episode that hasn't ended this season with a big ass battle, and I still enjoyed it. Like, it was something about that slow them walking out into the wild at the end was just like, I was hyped. I was like watching the you know, the start of a sporting event or something when people walk out on the court. So we'll get into it, as always, break it down by location. And in this case, I will start with actually start with Dragonstone. Now, there's some events that happen here that the order does matter to the story, but overall I'll just keep it by location, and we'll worry about the order later. So in Dragonstone, John was brooding on a cliff when we have to start with King's Landing. Yeah, it's the only way. All right, start with King's Landing. Let me do that instead. All right, so in the biggest size since Glenn came from under the motherfucking dumpster, you Walking Dead fans, don't ever shit on Walking Dead compared to Game of Thrones again. This nigga Jamie alive.
Yes.
But hold on. I've been hearing you say that, Rod. Everybody knew Jamie was alive.
Yeah, everybody knew Glenn was alive. I mean, I never wavered. I told, matter of fact, that's why that shit was stupid. Because I was like,
he was dead, and I was highly upset.
Yeah, y'all was mad.
Well, the show never. Okay.
Speaking for myself, I told everybody, it's obvious he didn't die, and y'all are gonna be mad as fuck when he come from under that dumpster, and y'all gonna act like it's okay when it's not. That was some bullshit.
It was some bullshit.
Right. And so, but no, at the time, everybody's like, nah, it can happen. It's not bullshit. You know what? I don't care. I just want him to be alive. That is exactly what everybody told me. Cause I remember my mentions. I ain't forgot.
You talking about other people.
I'm just talking about the people that was reacting to me when I was like, okay, if this nigga alive, it's some bullshit. And y'all know it. Nah, it's not. It's, see, that could really happen. No, the fuck, it couldn't. It couldn't happen, y'all. The way they filmed the scene, he should be dead. They refilmed it a different angle. Nigga crawled under the dumpster and fucking lived. And I was like, that's just because they like Glenn and that actor that much that they wouldn't kill him. Now, in this case, they didn't do like wait 3 episodes and come back to it or whatever the fuck. But still, point remains, bullshit. This nigga had a full ass suit of armor sinking to the bottom of a goddamn lake. And with the Dothraki surrounding them with a dragon after he just tried to kill Daenerys, and nobody thought to troll the lake. Nobody was like, we should probably make sure this nigga don't come up. We saw him get saved at the last second. Let's make sure we catch, I don't know, the general and brother of the motherfucker that's running everything. No, we good. We just chilling over here outside. We barbecuing niggas. That's it. I was disgusted. It was a big ass impossible white man size. Bron, and then to top it off, Bron fucking got this. Bron not just swam to safety, somehow drug a nigga in full armor from one side of a lake to another and came back to the shore, and they both was alive. The only thing is Jamie had to spit out a little bit of water. Disgusting. Bullshit. I know it's a show of dragons. I would have rather that fucking Jamie died and got resurrected by Red Priest than this shit.
It'd have made more sense.
I couldn't believe it, man. Everybody was hitting my, you should have seen my mentions Sunday night as soon as the episode started. You was right, Rod. You called it. That was a size. Yep. How's he alive? Everybody. It's some bullshit. Y'all knew it. It's okay. It's okay. Your favorite show has some bullshit on it. Now y'all know how I feel.
Walking Dead's bullshit is still way bigger than anything they've done with Game of Thrones right now. I'm gonna leave it there.
Let me think. You know what? It's about the same for me. Not even gonna front. The one thing that people keep claiming is the part that they hate the most is the Negan season ending thing, and I love that. That was some balls.
I was very upset at the time.
Like, that shit was way better than killing Jon Snow, because everybody thought he was coming back. Like, we spent a whole offseason being like, who the fuck is nigga gonna kill? And getting preemptively mad at everybody he could possibly kill. Like, my fun that summer was being like, what if he killed Michonne, though? And people being like, what? If he killed Michonne, I won't watch this motherfucking show no more. And then you just watch people get mad, then you pick somebody else. You know what I'm saying? What if he killed Glenn? Well, he killed Glenn in the book. You won't kill him on the show. Why would they do that? I don't know. Maybe they will. Well, if he killed Daryl? Oh, not Daryl. I love him. Like, I love that shit. Jon Snow coming, dying. We knew he was coming back, dog. That shit was whack. But anyway, still love the show, guys. Okay. I'm sorry to shit on your favorite show. But come on, dog. If this is Walking Dead, y'all would be writing in. All my emails would be just full of people being like, fuck this show. That was some bullshit. Jamie should be dead. I know y'all like him and he handsome. This nigga got a gold hand and a suit of armor and swam to the other side of the lake. Fuck y'all. That's impossible, dog. I read an article about the science of that shit. It's not possible, dog.
I ain't gonna swim one hand.
That's like trying to swim with fucking swimming trunks on that got lead in them. It's not, you can't do it, guys. They could have at least made him take the armor off so we could have had like an excuse like, oh, Jamie had to take his arm off to live. Nigga, fuck, he got out in a full suit. Y'all crazy. Y'all are crazy.
Shout out to Bron, though, for being the real MVP.
Yeah, Bron carrying the team on his back like the real Bron in basketball.
Bron Stang was like, nigga, I want my money. You can't die. I'm not paid. In fact, I lost my money on the battlefield.
Right.
You ain't dying.
He did grab that nigga off the horse like, oh, I need that money.
Yeah.
Yes!
Bron don't even really like Jamie. He like money.
Right.
Bron the only real black person on the show.
He really is.
Right. He the closest thing.
Yeah, Jamie was like, yo, she got two more dragons. We're fucked. Bron like, nigga, who we?
Right. Right, so they get to the shore. Jamie got full armor and gold hand on the sideline chilling. Bron like, I done saved your motherfucking ass. And he says, what the fuck was you doing, Jamie? And he was like, trying to end the war, kill Daenerys. He was like, you ain't see that big ass fucking dragon between you and Daenerys? And he was like, I thought I had it. He was like, well, you didn't have it. And then he was like, speaking of which, where's my money? Cause Jamar got a one track mind.
Right. He was like, rent is due on the 1st and 15th, dog.
I done lost my bag of gold. That's the only thing missing from this scene. I feel like if they could rewrite the scene, they would definitely have Jamie bring in like, I paid you your money. I don't even know what you mad about. I gave you a bag of gold. Well, go get your gold then. Jamie was like, look, man, she got two more dragons to go with that. We are fucked. And Bron was like, you got a rat in your pocket? Because from what I'm checking, we ain't shit. Because dragons are my exit. And I will not be there when them fucking dragons hit King's Landing. Don't look for your boy. Dragons are where I get off of this bus. Because I ain't signed up to fight dragons.
Right.
And Jamie. Oh, yeah.
No, I was going to say, you know what was actually a bigger slice than Jamie with the armor shit and the water shit like that? It happened a few episodes ago with that whole... the scorpion thing, you know, the thing that they fired at. Like, when they did that shit, because it's like, yo, you fired it into an old, rusty, moldy-ass dragon skull. I went back and checked the episodes from last season when Drogon got hit up with no spears. That nigga was like a quarter of the size he is now.
Yep.
And then when they fired the little thing into the dragon skull, I'm like, and ain't got no skin on it, like... That was never gonna be a countermeasure.
I said it when it happened. We was reviewing it on the show. I said, so are the living, breathing fire dragons gonna stand still and let you shoot them in the head?
Right.
Because if not, I don't see what Qyburn weapon really does. You shot through a dusty ass fossil. You know.
I just love if you go back to that scene watching Bron and Jamie's face were just like. Yo, what the fuck did we just live through?
Right. Yeah.
The motherfucking dragon right there.
Right.
Right. Cersei and them in there playing Operation and shit. You be like, dog, you know this ain't real. You really can't do this in real life, right?
Yeah. They look like when like HBCUs go play like Division I schools. You know what I'm saying? After the game where everybody hurt and shit, where they be like, yo, man, what are they feeding these fucking... white boys that are on like all types of 17 different steroids and shit. Like, we don't do this at our program. But at any rate, man, it was fucked up, dog. I'm imagining that's the first thing that happened when they desegregated basketball in schools was white people looking at each other like that. Like, Jesus Christ. So then Bron was like, well, yeah, I'm a dip, Jamie, when it's time. And Jamie was like, well, look, I gotta go tell Cersei about this shit. And Bron was like, you could just jump back in the river, cause, like.
That ain't gonna end well.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen. And so then Tyrion, was walking over the charred battleground, and it was full of ashy men's bodies, like if Dr. Umar had a seminar or something there recently.
Oh no.
Just full of just men that were just burned all the way through. And, Dany was there with, Drogon. And she offered all the Lannister troops to either bend knee or die while claiming that she is not a murderer.
Right.
I think it was a valid choice.
I think that's hilarious. I'm not a murderer, so I will allow y'all to bend knee or die. I mean, you know, y'all pick, really. Y'all pick. It's free country. Do as you please. And a lot of people
gave him a choice.
Yeah, it was a choice. It was a choice.
Get down, lay down. Which one you gonna be?
A lot of people didn't bend the knee right away. But then Drogon roared at them, sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
And they was like, oh.
And they bended the knee, most of them. But then the Tarleys, you know, the daddy Tarly and then Dickon, his son, they both didn't bow down. They stood up. And like a couple other dudes stood up in the background still too. And Danny was like, hey, you really ain't gonna bow down to the new queen? And he was like, I already got a queen. Beyonce the only one that can make me bend the knee. Now he was like, Cersei the only one I worship or whatever. And Tyrion was like, dawg, you barely know Cersei. You can't be serious. You gonna die for Cersei? Like, she don't give a fuck about you. And Tarly was like, yeah, well, she from Westeros. She ain't got an army full of savages.
That racism.
He don't like that.
He was in Charlotteville.
Heritage not hate shirt.
Yeah.
Rocking that.
Tiki torch still burning. Still smelling of citronella.
That Hitler shirt he had on was fresh.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, look, man, Cersei from Westeros, this a foreigner. She got savages at her back. I'm not fucking with her. And Tyrion's like, well, maybe we can send them to the wall. Make him wear the black. He's still a good soldier. He can fight the White Walkers. And he said, I won't go to the wall. Not for you.
Because you ain't queen.
Because you're not my queen. And Tyrion was like, well, I mean, no. And then Danny was like, well, then he going to die. You know, I gave you a choice. Time to die. And they went and grabbed him. The Dothraki grabbed him. And then Dickon stepped up and volunteered his tribute because he was like, no, that's my daddy. If y'all kill him, you got to kill me. And he was like, no, Dickon, don't do this. And he was like, no, I got to do it. Y'all kill
man,
me.
Man, I don't know that nigga.
Right.
That's your daddy. I don't know him.
I mean, he named you Dickon. How close can y'all be?
Right.
Hey, and Andy, Randall was looking like, boy, if this boy ain't dumb as a box of rocks, sit your ass down. What you doing? Mm-hmm.
And so then Tyrion was like, dog, listen to reason. Don't go up there with your daddy. Your whole house gonna end. We already lost one house to this war with the Tyrells. Mm-hmm. Now we're gonna lose your house.
Well, technically not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not entirely.
Oh, it's still some Tyrells left?
Sam.
Oh,
not Tyrells, but
Yeah, I feel what you're saying. I mean, yeah, Tyrell. Technically.
Right.
So then he goes, look, man, this is gonna fuck up the Tarly brand. And they was like, nope, fuck it, we willing to die. And he Tyrion pleads with Danny, like, can we just put him in a cell? And she's like, no, them niggas gonna die. I gave him a choice. This is the choice they made.
She looked at them and said, I said what I said.
Mm-hmm. And he tried to, like,
he was trying to reason with her.
Yeah, he was like, stall them out. Come on, Debo, please. And she was like, nah, fuck them niggas. I don't fuck with them. They don't fuck with me. It is what it is. Send us to death by barbecue, dog.
Right.
And Tyrion was caught off guard because he was like, don't behead him. She was like, I'm not gonna behead him. I got a big ass dragon. I'm about to go dragging on these niggas.
I'm so team Danny on this one.
Yeah,
because listen, if these niggas just saw what just happened with this big ass dragon still sitting here right back, like Drogon's literally posted up behind her,
mm-hmm.
and they're just sitting there going, nope, fuck it, you gotta kill them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep these niggas alive.
Right.
Because they're going to betray you. They're right. Going to come back.
They're going to rebel.
Yeah, you can't pull a Robb Stark.
Right.
Nope.
And maybe. Tyrion, yeah, go ahead.
Tyrion pissing me off with that stall me out shit. Like, come on, Tyrion, man. Like,
yeah, see, I figured out Tyrion is trying to win the PR war.
Right. Yeah. I've been saying that the whole time.
He's worried about how you're going to spin this because it can be spun as the Mad Queen, Dany Targaryen killed, burns alive her captives, all this shit, and then people be like, oh, she's just like her daddy, and we don't like her and shit. But Dany is like, I'm a dragon, be a dragon. Like, what's the fucking point of winning a PR battle when we lose in the actual war? We down in the finals 3-1, and Tyrion want to keep playing the same game plan. We can't do that no more. So she gives these niggas Death by Dracarys. And that, by the way, it felt like Drogon was being petty, because that roast of the Tarleys lasted longer than when Jamie Foxx roasted that dude Doug Williams. If you guys have not seen that clip on YouTube, you're welcome. Go look that shit up. Have fun. You will die. Okay. Don't do it at work.
Between that and when he roasted Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, when he roasted Doug Williams, no, I don't even think I heard of that comedian again after that, but that I'm Your Conscience. That shit was so good.
You gonna cry in the car. You mm-hmm. gonna definitely cry in the car.
Right. He kept trying to laugh it off, but it went too far. He couldn't laugh. Anyway, Tyrion was hella shook by this shit. And everyone that was standing just bended the knee. They're like, yeah, I didn't think she was burning niggas alive.
Come on, he just shish kebabbed them right in front of us. Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
Tyrion, like these niggas today, white people today, telling us we can't punch Nazis, yo. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. It's like, oh, no, you can't punch Nazis. You can't do that. You can't meet violence with violence. Like, the thing that's missing in this whole argument is they literally just turned on the Tyrells. They literally just betrayed their former queen, their former person, house that they swore allegiance to. They've already proven to be turncoats.
Yeah.
Oh, no, fuck them. Roast them.
Cersei asked Jaime, how many men did he lose? And he was like, a lot of niggas. We haven't even finished counting.
A whole bunch, dog.
He like, the motherfucking dragon burned like 1,000 carts of grain and shit. We are done. Okay, it's a wrap. And Cersei was like, never mind. We can find some mercenaries. We got the gold. Got the Iron Bank on credit. We can just make people fight for money.
They didn't learn. What was it? A few seasons ago when Stannis paid for them dudes and it got cold and horses were dying and every time he turned around a few hundred were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Money on a couple of $5.
Right. Loyalty over money, right? Jamie was like,
how much can one pay you to go up against three dragons?
Not enough.
What's the price on that one?
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's an amount.
You gotta insure my family too.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's an amount.
They gotta get like the bargain bin, like mercenaries that would just do it for anything, like some chicken.
Yeah. Like, we just well, so Jamie was like, yeah, you wasn't out there, so you don't know what the fuck you talking about. These niggas had Dothraki. He didn't even mention the dragons first. He was like, they was riding horses like skateboards with double knives, killing us with curvy swords. Like, they was doing N1 moves. We don't have that. And she was like, look, we good. Don't worry about it. He said, nah, they got dragons. Qyburn, little gun ain't work. Ain't do shit. We can't win. And Cersei was like, so what you want us to do? Sue them for peace? Like, it's too late. You know, I'm sitting on her daddy's throne. She just got a W. She thinks she winning. You stabbed her daddy in the back. She not gonna let you live. That's all that counts. So maybe Tyrion can intercede on our behalf as payment for killing our daddy and our son. And Jaime was like, yeah, about that. Tyrion ain't killed Joffrey. Lady Olenna told me. And she like, oh, you believe that bitch? Did she tell you how she drank that poison? And Jaime was like, yeah, and why would she be lying? Think about it. Who you want your son, your daughter Marjorie to marry if you were Olenna? Tommen or Joffrey?
Come on.
And Cersei sat down and was like, damn, that's a good ass point. She did it.
I like how they all know Joffrey wasn't shit. Right. People be talking mad shit about Joffrey, and they be getting mad, but not at the fact that they be calling him ain't shit.
They're like, it's just impolite to say it out loud. And then Cersei said, I shouldn't have listened to you. She should have died screaming. I should have tortured Lady Olenna. And Jamie's like, man, that shit don't even matter. You nuked their whole family. All of them are dead.
Right. It don't matter right now.
Like, the fuck more do you want? And Cersei was like, look, I'm going down fighting. I made my choice. A soldier should know what I'm talking about. Basically saying, you a soldier. We dying fighting. You not down with this?
Right. Because her thing was like, if I give myself up, I'm going to die. If I fight, I'm going to die. So the choice is made. Death.
Yeah, she's too far down the road of vengeance for it to matter who really killed who.
Right, and a lot of that goes back to what her daddy had been telling her before she died. You don't think long term on shit.
Right. So, Tyrion and Davos land in King's Landing on a small ship. And it kind of skips ahead to some events, but we'll get back to it when we get to Dragonstone. And Davos is like, I gotta take care of some shit in Fleabottom. And Tyrion's like, what if somebody come down here and see this boat? And Davos is like, we'll be fucked, so hurry the fuck up and run your errand.
Ah!
And meet me back at the boat. And Bronn takes Jaime to the same room with the dead dragon skulls in it to train. And he tells Jaime that we're gonna train down here because you still don't know how to fight, and the Dothraki gonna be coming to King's Landing. And Jaime was like, yeah, but why we got trained down here? And he was like, because don't nobody want to, you don't want nobody to see how you fight. You look terrible right now. Right. And he gets down there and he's like, you know what, man, all this shit you talking to me, Bronn, I might fuck around and accidentally kill your ass today. And Bronn was like, well, you won't be swinging the sword at me. And Tyrion steps out. And Jaime and Tyrion basically have like a reunion. This is the first time they've seen each other since Tyrion escaped King's Landing. Mm-hmm. And you know, Tyrion was like, hey man, you've been kicking my ass in this war, bro. You way smarter than me at battle. I thought we could attack Casterly Rock, but you ain't have no sentimental attachment to it. Stranded my troops there. Dad would be proud. And Jaime cut him off like, you don't get to talk about daddy. And Tyrion was like, hey man, I'm sorry about, you know, dad, but that nigga was trying to kill me. And Jaime was like, yeah, well, I swore to Bronn that I'll cut you in half next time I saw you because of what you did to our dad. And Tyrion's like, hey man, it's gonna take a while with that sparring sword, but you know daddy hated me just for being a little person.
Right.
Even though he knew I was innocent, he didn't give a fuck. He put me to trial for death. And Jaime was like, man, what the fuck you want? And Tyrion's like, man, you saw the dragons. You know you can't win this war. Tell Cersei to make a deal. Not to bend the knee, but we could talk about some other arrangements. And they cut away from the scene at that point. But we already know, we'll get to what that's about later. Davos rose up to Fleabottom, and fucking Gendry is up in there looking like a young, svelte Christian Bale. Like,
he was cut.
Batman Begins Christian Bale. Just arms.
Are we sure it's not Christian Bale?
Right.
Just like Christian Bale.
He finishes training and shit too.
He lost all the baby weight. Like,
I forgot how young he was when he was on the show. Like, that's a grown ass man now.
Yeah, he looked like after Christian Bale finished training in Batman Begins with Ra's al Ghul and them, he looked like that. Like, he was polished and his arms was tight from rowing for 6 seasons straight. And he was working as a blacksmith making weapons for the Lannisters and shit. And Davos is like, man, I looked everywhere for you, the whole house, everywhere. I should have known to come to the metal shop. And Gendry was like, yeah, you know, I've been down here making swords for the Lannisters right under their nose. You was right. This is the best place to hide from the motherfuckers. And you ain't worried about the cops seeing your ass? And Davos was like, not really. I'm old.
Right, and it's been a while, and folks don't remember what I look like no way, and most of them that have are dead.
Right. Like, I'm old as fuck. You know, time ain't been kind to me, but at least can't nobody look at me and see what's up. And Gendry was like, so, you know, what's up, what you want? And that was like, man, you need to come with me because it's an important mission. And he was like, I'm ready, let's go. I love that shit because Gendry was ready to go as soon as that he saw Davos' face. He was just hoping he would be like, let's get out of here. And he said, you might want to grab one of these swords where we going. And he was like, nah, I keep a hammer. And he grabbed a hammer.
It was ready too. Like, it wouldn't even have to like go into the closet or nothing. It was just sitting there like, all right, let's go.
He was ready. And the thing about him that was, I guess, funny and unique, he was like, look, I had a purpose. I ain't know what the fuck I was down here doing, but I knew one day all this making this shit down here was going to mean something.
And his daddy used to use a hammer, Rob Baratheon. That was his weapon of choice. So he was like, you know, I'm nice with this hammer naturally. So he was like, yeah, let me take this hammer and get the fuck out of here. I'm with you.
He had a go bag. He was like, oh, go bag, it's right here. Let's go.
Police rolled up on them trying to get into the boat, Davos and Gendry, and Davos tried to smooth it over with a bribe, gave him like 15 gold dragons, pretended that Gendry was his son named Clovis. And then the dudes got nosy and was like, what's in the boat though? And we knew Gendry's hammer was in the boat, so I thought it was gonna be like, what the fuck y'all doing with this weapon, you know? But instead they had some fermented crab in the boat, which Lawrence could have used on Insecure.
Ah!
Because apparently it helps you get hard and keep going sexually over and over for men. And he said, yeah, I'm about to sell this at the brothel. Y'all want to try some? And he said, now y'all, you let them have a little bit. And he was like, now y'all might want to get to your favorite hoe house before this wears starts kicking in, or you're going to punch a hole through that chain mail. And they laughed and was like, cool. And I'm like, damn, Davos so smooth, man. You know, like, he really convinced them that this shit wasn't suspicious. And they would have got away with it too. Mm-hmm. But right when the cops got ready to walk up the stairs away from the beach, fucking Tyrion comes rolling down the stairs and freezes looking super suspicious. So the cops decide to, you know, to profile this back. Nigga.
They stop and frisk.
Right. They basically stop and frisk this motherfucker. And they're like, yeah, you look kind of like a little person we were looking for that had a scar on his face. Y'all remember that? And that was like, oh, we could work something out. Here's some more gold. And they was like, nah, it can't be more gold than what Cersei would give us. So they knew he was Tyrion and everything, which makes sense because Tyrion would be very famous. He's a little person, and he got that scar on his face.
It's
pretty
very
easy.
Few little people,
right?
I just like the fact that out of everything that was going on, because I was actually hoping this scene would happen. I was like, I'm hoping that they smooth things over, and this nigga Tyrion come down the stairs, and he starts coming down. I'm like, yes, make it so that the little person, the one that should be the one that's most inconspicuous, the one that should hide the most, is the one that's just out there in the open and can't hide behind a bush, can't hide behind a rock. He just like, oh, fuck it, I'm caught.
I like that.
He's literally the worst, yo.
I like that face he had, which is like, ah, oh, shit. Like, he froze, and then he tried to keep walking. It was like, nope, they seen you. It's over. At any rate, Gendry pulls out the hammer and goes hammer time on these motherfuckers' faces.
Yes, he did.
And they decide to get on the boat and leave without getting their gold back, which I would have got my gold back. But they leave the dead police on the shore and get ready to row off. And Davos makes the introduction. He's like, Gendry, this is Tyrion. Tyrion, this is Gendry. And Tyrion's like, he'll do. And they dipped. Jaime goes into Cersei's chambers to discuss, you know, what he talked about with Tyrion. He sees Qyburn in there, and I saw it on the closed captioning the second time I watched this. Qyburn is saying to her, I could give you something, and she says that won't be necessary. Which I'm thinking means some medicine or something for her to take. Maybe she has some type of symptoms or something. I don't know. Well, Jaime tells Cersei, like, he's like, what's Qyburn doing in here? She's like, none of your goddamn business. And then
Jaime should have smacked the fuck out of Qyburn as soon as he saw him. Like, nigga, that shit didn't work.
That was what I said last week. I said, how the fuck did he not just walk into the fucking castle full of seaweed and rusty water and shit and slap the fuck out of Qyburn and be like, your scorpion is some bullshit. You almost got me killed, cuz.
Are you too close, mom? Mm-hmm. Like, you just fuck out of him.
Anyway, she's like, yeah, Qyburn doing some shit for me like he's supposed to because he the hand of the queen. What's up with you though? And Jaime like, I just met with Tyrion. And there's a long pause where he's trying to read her face to see if she would be angry or surprised. And she's like, and what did our dear brother have to say? And he realized, wait a minute, she took this way too well.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, he wants to set up a meeting, something about some dead men marching on the Seven Kingdoms, and we need an armistice in order to fight against them together, or we're gonna all die. And Cersei was like, yeah, we should do that. Armistice could be to our benefit. And she said, I'm trying to think like daddy, because he was like, why the fuck would you say that? Because he knows she crazy too. Like, you really, you want to broker a truce? And she was like, yeah, trying to think like daddy. She got the numbers, and if we want to beat her, we got to be clever. We gonna win. We the best. We will defeat whatever's in our way, for ourselves, for our house, and for this. And she touched her stomach to say that she was toting a gut full of Kingslayer. She apparently is pregnant with Jamie's incestuous seed.
And this is where... I'm sorry, Karen, go ahead.
I'm about to say, and that makes sense. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was going to say, this is where I say 7 seasons, and we've never seen them use condoms on this show, and I'm really having a problem with this.
I agree.
I'm really disturbed by the fact that we've been going 7 seasons. We've seen all this fucking, all this sex. And then there's been no talk of STDs. There's been no talk about condom usage. I'm really disturbed about this.
It's going to guide the white community.
It's really been bothering me.
Yeah, I have to add into it. I have not been using condoms since I started watching this show because of that.
Yeah.
Because as an adult, I'm not responsible for my decisions. I only do what TV characters do. And I did not know about condoms or STIs or anything or any of the ways affecting people unless someone tells me in a PSA on a TV show that I'm watching on HBO. So
I'm actually not sure how we all get aren't, you know, having sex with our brothers and sisters, because, you know, just this show is just really leading to the moral decay here.
It really is.
Don't worry, I'm starting a change.org petition about it. It'll be up next week. Just
let me know. I'll retweet
your... Thank you. I'll be signing that.
I'll retweet your think piece. So yeah, she's like, I got your incestuous seed all up in me. We about to have this baby. And he was like, who you gonna tell everybody the daddy is? And she was like, you silly. And Jamie was looking on his face like, yeah, people are not gonna like that. And she said, remember what daddy said about people? And he said, yeah, that the lion doesn't concern itself with the opinions of the sheep. And then they hugged, and she was like, don't you ever betray me again. Am I my brother's keeper? Mm-hmm. And Jamie was like, yes, I am.
Yeah, because the thing is, it was like she was crazy because she basically sat there like, yeah, I knew he was there. I knew y'all met him. And I was like, how did she know? And I just think it's the internet.
Mm-hmm. Well, she said, you think anything of import happens in King's Landing without me knowing?
Right.
And she asked, was he going to punish Bronn? Because she was like, you know, Bronn betrayed you essentially by bringing you down there to Tyrion. And he was like, he didn't say yes or no, but his face was like, hell no, why would I do that? And she was like, he betrayed you. And you just betrayed me. Don't ever let it happen again. And I'm like, in that scene, I felt like one of them got to kill the other one.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. I've always thought that Jaime will kill Cersei's.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think, too. But everybody been saying Cersei going to kill Jaime. But I'm like, feel like Jaime would kill Cersei the way things are setting up, but I don't know. In that scene where they hugged, though, it did give me the distinct feeling of like, well, somebody got to die. I don't know who.
Mm-hmm. I also like that she really, I mean, she got the quote, but I don't think her daddy was saying that, was applying that quote to her fucking her brother.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's like, no, that's a good, I mean, that is a, if you're of the aristocrat or the kings and queens of the Seven Kingdoms, that is a good quote to say. I don't think it applies to incest, though. Mm-hmm. I think there's a line. I think there's a line when the people go, we were okay when, it's like when Republicans now have a problem with Donald Trump because the shit's out in the open. Like, it's one thing when you're white supremacist in the cloak of the night. You can't do it out in open like Trump is doing right now. Same thing with incest. Like, everybody knows they fucking, but when she has a child that everybody knows and they're out there as a one big, that shit ain't gonna fly with nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, dog.
Well, she was like, look, man, we gotta take care of this family now, this baby. I think Jamie was just happy and relieved to be like, well, cool, this means Euron not gonna be in the picture.
I had a thought about Qyburn.
Qyburn? Yeah.
Maybe he was giving her something for that baby.
Possibly. I mean, he just said give her something. Maybe she's got morning sickness. And she said that's not necessary, you know, so it could be that. Who knows? You know, we never know with Cersei. She could be hearing
voices. it could be not necessary because she's not actually pregnant.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, she could be faking it, I guess. I don't know why she would be faking it at this point. The part that worries me is that the prophecy says she would have three kids and they would all die. She would bury them all. So I'm like, the prophecy ain't saying nothing about no fourth kid. So right. Somebody lying, well, or she gonna die.
it's to keep Jamie in check. Like, without a kid, she knows she loses Jamie, particularly after the fact that he just lost probably at least half or more of his army to fucking three dragons. He's already teetering. She already sees he's teetering. So the only way to keep him in check is, you tell me as a kid, that's the only time Jamie gets fucking soft. You mentioned his kids.
So will Jamie, so does this mean Cersei won't be drinking any more wine for the regular season? Because I can't see it.
No. She'll be drinking all the wine.
She gonna have to go down there and drink wine in front of Ilaria and watch her daughter die. So I feel like, you know, we'll see if she's faking if she drinks wine.
Yeah, no, I think that she gonna still drink that wine. And also, it's one of the things where I look and I still, and who, you know what, and it's one of the things, if she is pregnant, who's to guarantee you it's Jamie's?
I would say it's Jamie's. That's my guess. Who else would she be fucking? Lancel went to the Sept and got blown up. I think she fucked Jamie. That's it. She definitely ain't fucked Euron. Euron was begging for that pussy. So that ain't happened. Bran is having visions up by the north. We're doing the north now. He's at the face tree. And he wargs into a bunch of ravens that fly over the wall into the winter icelands and shit. They fly a long way before they roll up on an army of White Walkers that are headed towards Eastwatch. And they show Eastwatch when the ravens fly over it. Then they show a bunch of plains of snow. And the Night King is out there with the White Walkers, and he looks up and sees the ravens, and he uses his mind powers to fucking make them disperse. And it makes Bran stop warging and go back into his body.
Yeah, because I think that when he touched him, it made a special connection. Like, he can sense his presence.
Yeah, he can just tell where that motherfucker is at all times, I guess. And he could tell he was looking at him. And he was like, nope. And then Bran woke up and was like, we need to see some ravens. And make sure you pay for Amazon Prime one day delivery on these.
Yes! Same day pickup!
Right. And that's what happened. Because we have some fast-ass ravens in season 7. Just everybody starts getting ravens everywhere.
I am here for the fast delivery.
Which raven do you think is faster, the ravens in this season of Game of Thrones or Ray Lewis whenever he hears the white man needs somebody to have his back?
Oh,
it's fast, right? It's close.
It's neck and neck.
It's neck and neck, dog. I mean, I can see either one. Arya walks into a meeting with where Sansa's holding a meeting, and Arya just walks in behind, you know, like kind of behind the scenes. And the House Glover, that leader, Lord Glover, is saying, fuck Jon Snow, he fucked up. He left for the South, and now the King of the North should stay in the North. And they didn't choose Sansa to lead them, but she a better leader than Jon. And Lord Royce, who's from the Knights of the Vale, was like, we came here for you, Lady Stark. We don't know nothing about no Jon Snow. And I'm like, how many times this nigga John gonna get mutinied? I swear this nigga can't turn his back on his people, boy, before they be like, you know what? Fuck John. John, you know, John's not there, but Arya notices it, that how Sansa handles it, because Sansa's all like, look, man, I hear y'all concerns, but John is doing his best. Let's just hear him out and give him a chance. And that was like the weakest press conference since that dude resigned at the White House.
She giving the Paul Ryan excuses, yo. Yeah.
Sound like Sean Spicer up there, like the president said. At any rate, she's going to walk towards her room, which used to be her parents' room, and Arya's with her, and Arya was like, I noticed you moved into our parents' room. It's kind of nice in here. And Arya, like, what are you trying to say? Just spill it. And Arya,
what an attitude, too. She has such a nasty attitude.
Sansa's saying it to Arya. You mean Arya to Sansa?
No, Sansa. She was just nasty.
Okay, this is interesting. I thought they both had an attitude towards each other.
They did.
Like, I felt like both of them was kind of being judgmental. And this is what I said last week. Neither one of them respects what each other does. Mm-mm. Or their methods.
They never have.
Right. They never have. All that time apart, you would like to think that you asses make the heart grows fonder. They right back to where they left. You know, Arya's like, why don't you get your hands dirty, cut some throats? And Sansa's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Just do, you know, that's not how you build a coalition to win a war.
Here's the thing. I'm team Arya just because, well, first of all, Arya's right because Sansa's always been like this. Mm. Sansa's only kind of stumbled into being right sometimes. But remember, when she was in King's Landing, before Joffrey had her father's head cut off, she was all about that shit. Mm-hmm. She was all part of trying to be in here. Like, she's always tried to play this game, but never really been smart enough to play the game. Mm-hmm. And so, even right now, I still don't think she is.
Yeah, it's weird, because I feel like Sansa gets a bad rap, because, in my opinion, all the Stark kids were given a bad hand, because their father just did not prepare them for this world of treachery. And Arya and Sansa both got what they wanted, and they both paid the cost to get there. Like, Sansa mm-hmm. in her own way, Arya in her own way. I think they need each other, and I think they both have like half of the, you know, Rubik's Cube solved, but because they don't respect each other, they'll never get the full picture. Like, Sansa makes a point. We got the North back by building a coalition. Like, we couldn't just sneak in and kill Ramsay and that's the end of the war. You sometimes you have to fight, and you need allies, and you need people that trust you, and people that will, you know, fight and die for you and shit. And it takes more than just, you know, a single assassin. And at the same time, Arya's like, yes, but sometimes you gotta chop a nigga head off. You know, and it's interesting because Sansa was way more bloodthirsty when she wasn't in charge. So now she's experiencing to a certain extent what Jon went through.
Come on.
Now, Arya does her shit differently. She took it to the side in private to be like, you fucking up. Sansa would have said the shit right in front of everybody, like, John, what about this, you know? But they, like I said, I think they both have valid points, which is why I think it's good writing, is that it's not just so simple where it's like, well, clearly this one person's wrong and this person's right. Like, yes, you need the Knights of the Veil. Yes, you need the Glovers to fight with you. But you let your brother look weak.
Right.
You could have said, listen, John is right. This decision he made, I support him 100%. When he gets back, he will be the king of the North. Calm the fuck down.
Right.
At any rate. Yeah. Go ahead.
And I think that's the thing. I think, like, my problem is, I think you can always see the undercurrent. I call Sansa, she's 53%. Mm-hmm. She's a 53%er to me. Because, yeah, she, like, what you're saying is right. And I think that's kind of more like what John does. Sansa's always doing things for her. And I think that's what Arya's seeing through it. It's like, yeah, but the reason why you didn't defend Jon is because it makes you look good and you like having the praise heaped on you. Mm. So I think that's where the problem is. I don't think that I think that Arya understands you need to build some of those, you need to build those coalitions, but that's not really what Sansa's doing. She's making everybody kind of feel like, you should listen to me, while she's giving tacit support to John. Because, like, I think people in the chat room even said, she never even really fucked with John before. Mm-hmm. So Sansa's been she's now stuck with the two people that she never kind of really fucked with, mm-hmm. which is Arya and John.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. And this is where I kind of disagree, though. I don't feel as strong that she's doing it just for her. Like, mm-hmm. I think she's at a point, because from her experiences, her number one goal is safety. Like, Sansa never wants to feel unsafe again because of the things that have happened to her. So even with her, like, coalition building and shit, I don't feel like it's for a point of pride, but just for a point of, like, if what I gotta do to get people to protect me is make sure that they feel like they part of something, then I'm gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? Cause she got some good strategy. The grain thing, that's not about her being like, because I want y'all to think I'm the greatest. Like, that's her being like, y'all gonna come to Winterfell when the White Walkers fall through. We're gonna have to make a stand here. Everybody sends some grain in. You know, when she told them to put leather on the armor, you know, like, she's not completely like just in it for the vanity of I'm in charge. And I think that's what Arya was accusing her of at first, with the whole, you always like nice things. And I'm like, nigga, you think she was like, yeah, I just want to live in our parents' bedroom. That's what, I'm so happy our parents are dead and I was raped and, my brothers I killed. All I really ever wanted was a bedroom. Like, I was like, Arya, you know you being unfair, because she was mad. And by the way, justifiably mad. Arya did not have Jon's back in that room. But I think they both said some things they didn't mean with that shit. Or not. Yeah. I think they said some things that weren't true. Especially the whole, like, you happy that this is happening. I don't think Sansa's happy that this is happening. Honestly. But Sansa was like, look, man, we can't just kill these people. We need these niggas to fight for us. And Arya's like, if you kill the right people, they're gonna fight for you anyway. Sansa was like, I'm sure you love just cutting off heads to satisfy your bloodlust, but that's not how you get people to work together. And Arya was like, if Jon don't make it back, y'all gonna work together to get what you really want. And Sansa was like, how can you even think that that's what I'm thinking about, like being the queen of the north or some shit. And Arya's like, nigga, you already thinking like this. I'm just saying it. You have to be thinking about if Jon don't make it back. And Sansa was like, you know what? Get out my room. I got work to do. And Arya was like, my lady. And then she dipped out.
And I will say this. Sansa fucking wrong as shit on this one, too. The whole thing, you can't just cut people's heads off to get what you want. Daenerys got a whole fucking arm because of that shit. So, point Arya on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing, too, because I don't think Sansa hasn't seen Dany, you know, and the way that Dany's, the threat that she poses, you know, she has no idea about her methods and methodology. Her archetypes are Littlefinger, Cersei, Margaery, Lady Olenna.
And Varys.
Somewhat Varys. But, like, she learned the game at King's Landing. So she basically looking at day tactics and being like, look, them the niggas that were winning. I gotta do King's Landing shit to win. And Arya learned from the faceless men. So she be like, nope, just kill the right people. Don't worry about the shit. But yeah, Dany wouldn't be handling the shit this way, but Dany also got them dragons, you know? But yeah, it's gonna be interesting, cause I said that shit was gonna come to a head. And I feel like the rest of this, when I tell you about the rest of what's going on in the North, it's really manifesting. So then Arya starts watching Littlefinger. He's having secret cabals with people from around the way, like a woman. Then he talked to Lord Glover and what the fuck is that other dude name, Royce, the dude from the Vale, and the dude, both other people that spoke up against Jon in the meeting, happened to be meeting with Littlefinger, right? Which makes me think he's trying to pump Sansa's head up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because both of those guys were in the meeting saying, Sansa, you the real queen, not Jon. You the one that's doing the right thing. That is what Littlefinger would want her to think, I think.
Right.
He wants to be over her shoulder, controlling her.
Right.
And get Jon out of the picture and be like, yeah, see, Sansa, you the real queen. Even when Jon comes back and he starts disagreeing with you or telling you what to do, just be like, bitch, this my castle. Get the fuck out. That's what he wants. And he's, you know, trying to get Sansa to feed her ideas, but not through him. Cause she knows if he said it, she'll be like, nigga, you untrustworthy. No, I'm gonna do the opposite of what you told me to do. But since it's other people saying, he's hoping it'll feed her ego. That's my guess.
Right. Cause he always liked pulling strings.
Right. So then he goes to his chamber and Maester Woken walks up and says he found something in Maester Luwin's archives, who's like the old Maester for Winterfell, and it was a raven note, and he handed it to him, and Littlefinger thanked him on behalf of Sansa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the part that got me.
And Arya saw it from the shadows. She saw all this, and then Littlefinger locked up the note in his office or in his chambers, walked out, locked the door back and left. And Arya went into his room, picked the lock, found a note in his mattress, and read it. And the note is the same note Sansa had to write under coercion from Cersei in season 1. this note is important because the note says, our father, after Rob Baratheon was killed and with wounds when he was fighting that boar, whatever the fuck, our father tried to take the throne, challenge the throne successor to keep Joffrey off the throne and say that Joffrey wasn't Robert's kid and he betrayed everybody, so he gonna get killed and I renounce him and you guys need to come, everybody at Winterfell, Rob, Lady Stark, y'all need to come bend the knee and show that y'all still loyal to the Lannisters in King's Landing. That letter, of course, Littlefinger was in the room when she was forced to write it. It might have even been his idea. I just remember Cersei being like, we gonna kill this bitch too. And then him being like, no, give her a chance to prove her loyalty by writing a letter and to Winterfell to let him know, blah, blah, blah. Now, I believe in season one, Caitlin read this shit, was like, they got your sister. Like, mm-hmm. Obviously, this is not really her. But Arya read this shit. Now, thinking about how Arya feels about Sansa right now and reading that letter, I feel like Littlefinger set her with the okie doke, because when she leaves the office, the chambers, we see Littlefinger has basically hid in the shadows himself and saw Arya go in his room and come out, which makes me think he knows she read that note. He probably meant for her to find that note, and he meant for her to be like, motherfucking Sansa, this bitch.
Right, and it's also because he works in the shadows. Like, he knows, because he just kept looking around like, I know I'm being watched. People that watch know when they're being watched. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, and I didn't pin it at first, but yeah, he purposely said on her behalf and all that mm-hmm. stuff to make her look like he was doing this work for her. But I was like,
to Arya, it sounds like he went to find the letter that Sansa wrote to get rid of it for Sansa for some reason.
Some shit she probably didn't
have. Right, and this letter sounds incriminating. It made me wonder if maybe he was a faceless man or trained by the faceless man. The way he was knew about the shadows.
Possibility.
The way he knew he was watched. The way he saw Arya without Arya seeing him at the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a long con. Like, ever since she looked at him in the courtyard, I feel like he been like, well, I got to do something to set this bitch up. Get her out of my face, out of my way, onto the trail of somebody else. Let her work this shit out with her sister, because I can't have her all up on me.
Right, because the thing is, the people who Sansa needs the most is the people who Littlefinger's trying to get rid of, because Arya looks at him like, nigga, I kill you, and Jon choked him up like, nigga, why you still here? Get the fuck away from here, and I will kill you if you touch my sister.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I hope Arya don't get played. Because, she already suspicious of her sister, right. And she already think the worst of Sansa, and sometimes when you think the worst of people, it don't take much to make you be like, this, and of course you did this other evil thing. It's like, no, I didn't.
You know what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And my thing, I think maybe this might happen. I think Bran might step in and kind of enlighten one of them. Possibility. Mm. To get them to work together, maybe. Like, that's my little theory.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris. My only thing with Bran is, like, he's like that. He's like your old uncle or grandpa who just sits in front of the TV all day and don't really say nothing. So I have a feeling he's not going to say anything just because he's not worthless, but he kind of is, because he doesn't concern himself with real life events. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Mm. But what I was going to say, my question is, why is Littlefinger still alive?
Right.
And I get it. Oh, Knights of the Veil, stuff like that. How has somebody not shanked him in a fucking courtyard somewhere?
Everybody
bleeding out.
He pushes everybody's buttons right up to the point where they'll throw him up against a wall, put a knife to his throat, but then they still let him live.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, at some point, like, you can kill him in a corner, nobody will know. He's always in the shadows, so it's not like you can't set a trap for him. Like, I would have been, like, he's just a problem. Mm-hmm. You get rid of him immediately. He's a cancer. Mm-hmm. Just somebody just stick a knife in him, let him bleed out. It's over and done with. I don't know what happened. It happened all the fucking time. Come on.
Oh, go ahead, Kendrick.
I'm sorry. I think the thing with Littlefinger is because he weaves so many webs and he knows so much about people. I think that a lot of times people let him live because he's such a strategic person. So, in my opinion, who knows what connection
they
have.
I mean, the show definitely has a theme that the most strategic people live longer.
Right.
That's definitely something from the jump. Like, everybody that was scheming, just they stay not trying to make that move for the throne that would get you killed, and they always stay one step ahead of the people trying to kill them, so they leave right when shit get fucked up. Like him and Varys both got out of King's Landing right on time and shit. So yeah, I definitely think the scumbags read the tea leaves way better than the heroes. Like the heroic people always be like, well, I'ma go in there and tell them about themselves, and Varys and fucking Carsetti Finger be like, yeah, I'm actually gonna leave because they fucked up my brothel, and really ain't nothing else for me in King's Landing. They told me they'd kill me if I came back. I'm good.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that, but like with Varys, he's showing himself to be still useful in some ways, right? And he seemed to be a little calculating. He's still kind of, you're never really sure where he's going with certain things. Right now, Littlefinger's in Winterfell, and nobody trusts him. And like, what value is he providing anybody?
Lord Robin trusts him. Like Robin, the Vale dude, mm-hmm. He trusts him. So
right,
he got all the truth.
We haven't even seen him.
We haven't seen
them anymore. So again, why can't you just kill him in a corner somewhere and be like, oh, I don't know what happened.
I know what you're saying, but you got to think about who would do it. You know what I'm saying?
He
know who to push the buttons. The hero people don't kill people like that. He would never try Cersei like that. Like he tried Cersei one time. She checked him, and then he was like, well, I got to leave town for a bit. So you have a good one, Cersei. Bye. And never came back. Like that, like he know who he can fuck with and who he can't, dog. Like he can't just push everybody down the moon door.
I just find it interesting that everybody in Winterfell right now kind of knows that he's not to be trusted,
mm-hmm.
but don't nobody want to do the simple step, like just a quick little stab him real quick with a pen knife or something like that.
And I think Sansa feels quote unquote safe because she knows what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, yeah, I'm relatively safe because I know what he wants from me. Yeah. But the rest of you niggas, I don't know why y'all fuck with him. She even told Bran, like, what did he give you that knife for? So then also in the north at Eastwatch, the castle, Jon, Davos, and Gendry and Jorah arrived at Eastwatch, and they met with Tormund, who they told him about their plan. They had this plan to capture a White Walker by itself and take it back to the south and show Cersei and Dany that this shit is real, and they need to combine forces or at least stop fighting so they can go kill the White Walkers and then come back and resume the war of the Five Kings or the War of the Seven Kings, some shit, whatever the new war is. And they were like, they were telling Tormund this shit. Tormund was like, now which queen you need to convince, the one with the dragons or the crazy one that blew up the Sept? And he was like, man, both of them really. And he was like, and how many men you bring with you? And he was like, just this, what you see at this table, not enough. And then he was like, and then Davos like, yeah, also I'm not coming. But my man Tormund said, hey, did y'all bring the big woman?
Big girl come with you.
John's
information.
Right.
Important questions, yo.
And John's face was priceless because he laughed. He smiled like, yeah, I knew he was going to ask about her ass. And then I like how Tormund tried to act like he ain't know her name. Nigga, you know her name.
Yeah, I done stalked her on Instagram. I done looking at her DMs. Like,
right. You don't like all her pics.
Yeah, I was joking about on Aaron's show. Her whole DM is full of his dick pics.
Right. Davos, you know, was like, I'm a liability, so I'm staying behind. Tormund was like, yes, you are. And then he asked John, you really want to go out beyond the wall? And John was like, yeah. He was like, cool, because I know some other people that want to go. They go down to the holding cells, and they done locked up the brothers without banners, which is Dondarrion, the Hound, and Thoros. And they basically have a weird semi-reunion of everybody, because everybody figuring out that they know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, John recognized the Hound from season one.
Right.
When he came to Winterfell, Gendry said he don't trust the Brothers Without Banners because them the niggas that sold him to the Red Witch when the Red Witch was with Stannis and she was gonna kill him. And then Tormund discovered Jorah was a Mormont because Thoros called him a Mormont or some shit. And he was like, you know, your father was the Lord the Night's Watch commander, and he stalked and killed my friends. And Joel was like, man, them niggas don't even really fuck with me. You know, I used to run slaves. Like, I ain't exactly that tight, but you know, okay, cool. And then they was like, so we going to be on the wall or not?
Right, that's what the house is.
And like, Dondarrion started giving a long ass speech about the Lord of Light, and Hound was like, look, man, are we gonna fight or are we gonna stay in this cage?
I ain't nobody got no time for these words.
I love the Hound, man.
Hound fed up all the time, at all times.
Right. So he was like, well, do you want to know what we doing? That's what George said. And Hound was like, is it worse than rotting in the cage? Because let's go.
Right. The Hound was like, I don't want to read your think pieces, skip.
Right. Too long, didn't read.
Right.
John was like, he's right, we all in the same gang. And Ginger said, how can you be so sure? And John was like, we all breathing. Meaning, you know, we gonna be fighting these zombies. And they let everybody out the cell. Then they did the slow motion walk into the winter, the Icelands. I really love that scene. It looked like when the astronauts was walking towards the spaceship in Armageddon. Like, right, like, or someone compared it on, I think at the Blueprint on Twitter, compared it to when they walked up in the club in Belly, and that fucking that acapella, how do you want it, like that shit did, it was so badass, man. I can't even lie, man, like that's how I know I'm a nerd. Watching eight white people walk into the wilderness hyped me up.
Walking into certain death,
certain death, the Suicide Squad, these niggas hyped me up. Man, I don't know. I was like, this is why I'm a pure ass nerd, dog. Like, I'm actually legitimately like, yes, this, let's go, y'all. Let's next week gonna be off the hook. That hyped me up more than a battle.
Right.
And so it's funny because, I think the people in the North hate the wildlings because they racist and shit. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of wild because the wild, ain't nobody switching places with the wildlings at Eastwatch. Mm-hmm. You know what it is? Nah. Like, if y'all ever play pickup basketball, it's this phenomenon where they put you on the best player on the other team, and when you start getting your ass ate up because of course they the best player, people be like, play better defense, damn, put your hand up, it's all this shit,
you talk. Guard him, you
and
guard
he, right, and yeah. You go, you want to switch? Nah.
I'm good.
Yeah, go ahead, switch, dog. I mean, you got it all figured out, right? It's easy, just put a hand up, right? That's what I'm doing wrong. Y'all got it, we'll figure it out.
It did look like the Warriors from 2017 did this walk through.
Yes.
When it was coming through. So I have to admit.
John team gonna be so stacked, dog. They gonna go 73-9. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm just kidding. You know John team is actually the Cavs, right?
Oh, hey.
Come on, man. The White Walkers are the Warriors and we all know it.
They coming back with three people, maybe four, yo.
They signed a giant. And it was Kevin Durant. Okay, it's over. It's a wrap, bruh. I'm glad John went with a red priest. Let's just say that. Cause he might need him. You know what I'm saying? John might get stabbed and be like, Thoros, you got this?
One more time, please.
Right. Can you hook a brother up with some of that, resurrection? What if they drag him back into the wall like Bran?
Now, I've seen people say it's a stupid expedition, but I don't know what other fucking choice I got.
Yeah, like, we'll get into that when we talk about the plan, because I still got to do okay. Dragonstone. And yeah, we're going to talk about that plan, because the first time I heard it, I thought it was dumb as fuck. Second time I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's what you have to do.
Right.
Yeah, you can't take a picture of them.
The first time I saw it, I thought it was stupid. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, these niggas crazy.
Oh, yeah, it seems stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, but the second time I was like, I can't think of a better plan. All right, so let's do a Citadel real quick. Yeah, it's a shorter one. In the Citadel, there's a round table of old white men discussing the letter that they got from Bran, one of them overnight ravens. Mm-hmm. And I feel like old white men sitting around tables disregarding people's plight is the key to all the suffering in the world.
Of course, they open up their Amazon box and was like, what the fuck is this?
They legit was laughing at it.
Come on.
There's like, so a boy that's a cripple had a three-eyed raven and he can see visions and he saw zombies, whatever, it's all bullshit to me. And Sam was in the background shuffling papers around and they noticed that he stopped moving and was listening, and they was like, Sam, why are you looking at us like that? You know this boy Bran? And he was like, yeah, I know Bran Stark, and y'all need to stop laughing. That motherfucker lived on the other side of the wall as a cripple for years, and he alive.
Right.
Y'all should listen. And one of the masters was like, maybe you need to shuffle some old books because you sound crazy. And then Sam was like, look, everybody trusts y'all. If y'all tell these niggas to do something, they gonna do it. And maybe y'all need to try to tell all the masters to read every scroll about the Long Night and find information to defeat the king, Night King.
Right.
And the Archmeister was like, yeah, that could be true. Or it could be a trick by the Dragon Queen. Now I'm like, y'all, this is the second time this has happened. And I don't give a fuck what y'all say. Don't write me. I am pissed at anyone that believe in dragons but not winter zombies. Fuck you. Fuck you, dog. Who does that? Oh, yeah, them dragons real, but zombies? Okay. I guess we could just do anything. Like, nigga, what are you talking about? A world with dragons in it? Living, breathing dragons? Like, nigga, it might, you might want to check on some white zombies. You might want to. Anyway, they ain't believe them.
Somebody said fake news.
Right. Fake news. CNN. Bad media. He was like, look, man, I ain't crazy, and this shit is real. I seen it. Please listen to me. Please believe me. And the Archmaester was like, we'll send a follow-up raven to get to the bottom of this. Bye, fool. I'm like, what would a follow-up raven change?
Nothing.
Yes, what I said was right in the first one.
Here's the thing. I think the problem is people talking, trying to explain this shit ain't doing a good enough job, because when Sam is telling them this, it sounds fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, think about it. Yeah, yo, I know this old dude, this young crippled dude who lives out in the fucking woods. He sees aliens all the time. Nigga, what? Like, you don't say that kind of shit. You gotta find a different way of trying to explain that this shit is real.
Here's why it bothers me, Chris.
The way they say it is just, it sounds stupid.
Here's why it bothers me, though, Chris. This motherfucker Sam came there with one mission to convince them that this shit was real. He been telling them the shit is real. They get a motherfucking Stark letterhead, like, letter from Bran being like, yeah, the shit is real. And they like, I don't know, dog. Yeah, still sound crazy to me. I'm like, but don't you want to at least check it out after the second motherfucker tells you the thing that can end the world is happening, and it's a different person than the first person?
I guess from my perspective, from their perspective, they're like, everybody always cry. Like he told you, everybody always cry at the end of the world, but we always make it. So in their mind, this ain't no difference than anything. Like in their mind, like, our job ain't go to figure shit out. Our job is just to stay here, be nerdy, and write facts down. Other than that, they could give a fuck about what's happening outside. And I know it don't make sense, but from their perspective,
that was the first time. Yeah, when Sam said that shit the first time, I got you. He sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. One dude came out of nowhere to tell you about this shit, and you like, this, you crazy. Nigga, you got the Stark letterhead letter.
They don't
At that care. Point, you have to be like, wait a minute. This shit got something to it. Let's check it out.
And the thing is, they don't care, and I wouldn't expect them to care, because their whole thing is, people have said the world was going to end before. Why you have not given us enough evidence? You have not, because like the people that's educational, the thesaurus, like they're in that perspective. It's like they're not, they haven't seen it. You know, it's not a reality to them. Everything is just a thesis or a theory.
I disagree, homeboy, and this is why I gotta disagree. Because the same thing can be said about the dragons.
Right.
But Hold on, I gotta go to the next section real quick. Hold on, we'll get right back to this, guys. But I will come back and explain my flawless, perfect logic in a second.
Yeah, but they had to see them to believe it, too.
They ain't seen them, Karen. The Citadel people ain't never seen no fucking dragons. They just up there reading books and letters from other people saying it's dragons.
Right.
So now they like...
dragon bones.
Right.
They got dragon bones.
But they don't got them at the Citadel, though. They got them shits in King's Landing. Them niggas ain't seen that shit. They believe the Meisters who said they saw it. They did the research on the people who said they saw it, and they believe the dragons are back.
Yeah, that's laziness on their part. I'm not saying that they're justified for it, but I can understand why they think that way.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why this shit is moving slow. I'm trying to go to the next section, and this thing is fucking freezing on me. Give me a second, guys. I don't want y'all to miss this conversation. Why is this shit moving so slow? Come on, Crowdcast. Alright, you know what? Let me pause this recording real quick. Alright, so here's my thing. They haven't seen the dragons. They've read about the dragons, accounts of the dragons from other people, according to them, right? They even believe, we find out later that Sam's family got killed by the dragons, right? My thing is, before this, no one believed in dragons. This series starts with people being like, dragons ain't real. Like, Danny births dragons, and it's a moment in the show we all like, oh, that was not bullshit. The dragon egg thing, the dragons are real. Somehow she birthed these things, and we got little baby dragons, right? To me, it would seem that, being that shit happened in the distant past, that it would be just as unbelievable as the Night King shit, which also happened in the distant past. That's why Sam wants them to look at the old books about the Long Night to figure out how to kill the Night King or to stop him or whatever. How was he stopped in the past? They don't know, and they just simply go, I don't believe it. That is crazy to me.
And like I said, I think that all boils back down to laziness on their part. But you know how it is when you're talking to people that are so highly educated that they just don't believe nothing that nobody else says. So I do think that, yes, they do need to investigate and they do need to look.
Yeah.
And I'm with Sam on that part. But from their perspective, I do understand, because they was like, nigga, we've been hearing the earth going in forever, and we lived past these moments in the past.
I mean, they were trying to compare this shit to, like, they brought up a couple people that were like, remember so and so, he was crazy. Remember this lady, she said she descended from the tree people, she was crazy. But I'm like, this isn't the same thing as what they saying.
See, you know? I think it's like the same if somebody today try to tell us that there's an island with a bunch of dinosaurs on it.
Yeah.
We'd be like, man, that's bullshit. Not that dinosaurs don't exist or have never existed, but we all thought they're extinct, and so that's fine. Versus somebody telling us, well, zombies also exist too. Nigga, I'm gonna be like, I can believe the dinosaur thing before I believe the zombie thing.
This is why that doesn't make sense. They have writings about both. You know what I'm saying?
We have writings on things like zombies too, though.
Yeah, but we don't have actual, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in this world where there are dragons, like, that existed, they also were extinct, they're not coming back, it's impossible. People start to say it's all made up and shit. Then dragons come back. I don't know, look into the zombie myth? I don't know. Is it that crazy to just be like, send a dude out there? Something like,
to some people,
it don't sound crazy to me. They are super duper like, man, fuck that shit, don't even look, don't believe nobody. Well, now another person saying it, fuck that nigga too, he just happened to be saying the same thing that overlaps with exactly what Sam is saying.
Don't forget
Sam sent them there with a letter from John, who was the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch. That shit is pissing me the fuck off. I'm sorry that if y'all don't get it, y'all don't get it. Fucking crazy to me. If we lived in a world where there was fucking magic, and you told me, yeah, man, I flew to work today, and I'm like, damn, you can fly to work? That's crazy. You showed me. Look at me flying to work. If another nigga came and said, you know what, I can run at the Flash level speeds, I would at least, can you show me? Like, let's do it. Let's look at it. Like, why the fuck would I just be like, oh, nigga, get the fuck out of my face? That's how it feels to me.
Right. And you know, you know.
I hope the whites win. I hope the fucking whites kill everybody, dog.
I think they win. I do.
This shit's stupid. Y'all all deserve to die. This is the craziest shit I've heard in my life.
That's the whole point. They all gonna die.
Oh, yeah. And this nigga tripping. I hope the fucking whites show up at the Citadel just for that one scene of all the Meister's faces as they're like, God damn. He was right.
I think we're gonna see that.
We're gonna see
that moment. They're gonna walk in, they're gonna get cold and chilly for no reason.
I'm sorry, y'all. It pissed me off. They are just doing what the fuck they wanna do. Fuck the Meisters. Why the fuck do you even live in a book of, you live in the city of learning and y'all like, learned enough, I'm good. Took my graduation hat off. When I crossed, I'm good.
I got my doctorate. Fuck what you heard.
Copy these books, bitch. How about that?
They really are to
this point. Nigga cured leprosy.
They don't care. They don't care. I know it's not logical. The stupidest. I understand. But they don't care.
I don't know if it's just my residual anger at white people in general in real life or what, but a room full of white dudes talking about some doubt it is like my nightmare. That's like my mentions.
I figured it out then. That's exactly what it is. That's why it doesn't bother me as much. Because I'm like, oh, nigga, this is real. This is the realest fucking scene in Game of Thrones ever. A group of old, dusty white men in a goddamn library going, Sam faces a black person going, hey, man, Donald Trump is racist. Man, get the fuck out of here.
Yo, I said this shit on Twitter a while ago, Chris, but I said the White Walkers represent global warming.
Yeah, nigga, yes.
Yes, yes they do.
Nigga, these niggas is literally going, hey, man, the polar ice caps are melting. So?
Right.
This makes so much sense now. This is why it actually doesn't, this is why it bothers you and why it doesn't bother me. Nigga, we on the same page here. I'm like, oh no, yeah, this bunch of old dusty white men, of course they don't fucking believe this shit.
Yeah, they like, how you know it's man-made? I mean, it could just be heating up just cause. I mean, the fuck is an ozone layer anyway? But all the 99% of the scientists at the North Wall are telling you that the whites are real. Yeah, but I mean, how do we really know? I mean, just.
Yeah, are we sure that white supremacists are Nazis and Nazis are white supremacists? But the stats and statistics say.
Cause here's the thing. Their solution is equally as stupid. They said we will send a raven back. What the fuck does that mean? What could they possibly send you back that would make you be like, okay, now I get it.
They just did that to make
it. It's a stalling tactic. Right. Y'all don't believe them.
So you remember the fucking with black people story we had earlier with the police department going, we're investigating the tweets?
Yes.
That's what this shit is.
That's what this is.
I'm investigating the tweets.
These niggas are racing back going, we're going to investigate the investigation and we'll get back to you. Mm. Oh, yeah, nigga.
Fuck them, yeah, man.
We're going to do an internal investigation.
What'd you say, Aaron?
Say that again, Aaron.
We definitely going to survey 100 Americans and ask them how they feel about this.
Yeah.
Yes, the poll.
I really hope the ending of The Walking Dead is we find out that the White Walkers are the, like, original
the
Americans.
The Walking Dead, you mean Game of Thrones?
No, I'm sorry, Game of Thrones. I really hope the end of Game of Thrones is we find out the White Walkers are the, like our version of the original Americans.
I bet you
like they're like, yeah, actually we had the biggest gripe. This was our planet. These fucking humans sprang up and fucked everything up. So we just taking our land back and y'all should have been rooting for us the whole time. Fuck y'all. I hope they win, bro. Fuck these motherfuckers.
Oh, that'd be the best thing ever. If it just end with the White Walker just walking.
Right. Bunch of old niggas sitting in a room laughing at real people dying and shit.
Come on.
Yeah, I think Chris hit the nail on the head. That's residual anger from real life.
I
mean, he's highly upset.
I'm like, this is real life right now. Like, this shit happens. Then I was like, oh, this nigga just mad about it's hitting too close to home.
White men don't be listening, man. White men don't be listening. It's bothering me, y'all. So anyway, you know, Sam tells him I seen the shit. They like, whatever, nigga, get the fuck up. And Sam leave, and then they be like. Then they start bringing up old people that got caught lying in the past, being like, oh, ain't this bullshit like the last time? Then Sam, after he left, one of the masters turned as soon as he left and was like, ain't that the boy who daddy and brother got burned up by a dragon? And I said, fuck you, you motherfucker. You didn't send nobody to double check that? Y'all didn't need to send a raven back? Y'all believe that, huh? Fuck y'all. And then,
to be fair, other than the raven they got that told them that the Tullys were dead,
yeah,
included some of their ashes.
Yeah,
I think they just ran a DNA test on that. Yeah. It's like, this kind of ash. What's it smells like burnt pork?
Yeah.
I think
Sam also got a Valyrian steel sword, too, if I'm not mistaken, because he took his daddy's sword. Yeah, Sam, the low-key, the MVP. Anyway. So they haven't told him that his family dead.
We're just fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Gilly staying up all night helping Sam learn. Cram.
Want some more?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Cram for the Night King exam.
What she on it? She reading her ass off.
She was annoying. She was being annoying as fuck to Sam.
She was like a little kid when they just not learning shit. Look what I learned today. Mm. Look at this. 2 + 2 = 4, mommy. Yay! You're looking like, baby, that's good. That's good. He looks so annoyed. He had enough.
Yo, he was so fed up. He was like, look, I had a hard day at work. I really don't want to hear this right now.
But she was just happy to be there. Yeah, she was like, I'm learning. Ain't you glad I'm learning? Don't you love me? Show me love. And he looked like, I just worked 12 hours, baby. I don't give a fuck about your triangles and you color within the lines.
Yo, the look on his face when she was basically telling him about the steps and the shits, mm-hmm. He was like, yo, I don't care about any of this shit right now. We about to die, woman.
And I know Rod's going to get into this, but yo, it's just one of those things, like, I've been in this situation where I got so much other shit going on in my mind, and you're sitting across from whether it's a significant other, a friend, and they're just spewing off the most pointless shit you don't care about. But in between that pointless shit, they actually drop some knowledge.
Yep.
And you're just dismissing them because they sandwich it in between a bunch of shit you don't care about. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I've been in a situation before. I'm just like, okay, sure. Sure, okay. Sure. Oh, fuck it. Okay, fine. Like, I feel for Sam in this case, yo. Yeah,
he was trying to study, and it was fucking him up. So, she brings up, like, how many steps there were in the sept or some shit. And she was like, you want to know how many windows there were? He was like, none. Now they blew that shit up.
That's how you knew Sam was fed up, too, because he was like, he could have said that a little better. He's just like, nah, dog. Nah, it's gone. Please.
I do that too when I get annoyed. So she was like, you're right. It is blown up. That's the other thing. She was undeterred.
Oh, yeah. She was like, I don't give a fuck about what you're saying. I'm having a good time.
Mm-hmm. No
fucks given.
Mm-hmm. And she goes, guess how many towers in the World Trade Center? Too soon? But then she said, Rygar got annulment. He was like, yeah, it's an annulment. It's when you legally get divorced from your wife and you get your marriage annulled, you can marry somebody else. She was like, yeah, he got an annulment from his wife and got married to someone else. And he cut her off before she could say who. But she said it was done in Dorn by Meister Maynard, who also recorded his shits.
Right. I also like how, like, right before, like, I know we're going to get the significance of that.
Yeah.
But I think Sam had that look on his face. Right before when she was saying that, when she asked what an annulment was, like, Sam had a look on his face like, I kind of wish we were married so I could have one now, too. he really did have that look on his face like, I made terrible life choices.
Right.
And I need out of this not marriage.
Right. And so he finally goes off, mad about the busy work that they gave him to do.
They wasting his time.
Has a complete meltdown. He said, they got me a copy and shit that don't matter. While the key to defeating the Night King and stopping all us from being fucking zombies is sitting on a shelf somewhere and they won't refuse to study it. And we can all become White Walker zombies as long as we have access to the records of Master Maynard's 6,782 shits. And she was like, that's actually steps. That was the number of steps. I said, she like, is being
paying attention.
I'm like, she is so happy she learned that number of steps. Mm-hmm. Then little Sam got up from his nap, and Big Sam went and just put a book in his crib and walked out.
He really did, yo. I was like, yo, did he just give him a book?
Like, you read this shit. And that baby is big. That baby got the same growth hormone as Rick Grimes' kid.
What? That baby got big fast.
That nigga walked in a room like he was like, all right, I'm going back for a pack of cigarettes. I'll be back.
Right. And so he left. He goes to the library, steals some books and some scrolls that I'm assuming are in the locked off porn section. Mm-hmm. And he took one last look at the Citadel library, packed his shit and left. Gilly was like, you sure you want to drop out? And Sam said, man, I'm tired about reading the achievements of better men. Matter of fact, I think I have, you guys won't be able to hear it on Skype. It's going to take 44 seconds, but I actually had an audio of this. You guys should hear it.
You keep it going, man. You keep those books rolling. You pick up all those books that you're going to read and not remember, and you roll, man. You get that associate's degree, okay? Then you get your bachelor's. Then you get your master's. Then you get your master's master's. Then you get your doctorate. You go, man. Then when everybody says quit, you show them those degrees, man. When everyone says, hey, you're not working, you're not making any money, you say, you look at my degrees and you look at my life. Yeah, I'm 52. So what? Hate all you want, but I'm smart. I'm so smart. And I'm in school. These guys out here making money all these ways. And I'm spending mine to be smart. You know why? Because when I die, buddy, you know what's going to keep me warm? That's right. Those degrees.
That's right. Those degrees are going to keep you warm. Oh, shit. Went to the next song. Didn't mean for do that. All right. So then... that's the end of that. Like, Sam has dropped out of Citadel, probably going home to find out he's the man of the house.
Come on, everybody else is dead.
Him and his adopted kid, they the last of the Tarly line.
Mm-hmm. I think they'll officially get married then.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Gilly get to wear that nice dress again.
Come on, because I don't know, his sister and mama like her.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we only got one more section left, and that's Dragonstone. John is brooding on a cliff when Danny rides up with Drogon, and John ends up petting Drogon on the nose, and that's the Marvel Universe equivalent of picking up Thor's hammer, because knowing his birth heritage, which they kind of covered, they hinted towards it. That's what Gilly found in the book.
Oh, okay.
Rhaegar is his dad. Lyanna is his mom, according to the vision that Bran was having. That's what everybody we're led to believe. The Stark story has always been that Lyanna, I think, was promised a wed like Rob or some shit, and Rhaegar thought she was so fine that he left his wife and stole Lyanna and raped her. That was the Stark version. The version I think from the, you know, that they're building up on the story is some level of like, either they were in love or some type of legal recourse happened. Like, he legally got divorced to be with this woman. They have not truly given us the full backstory, so I don't want to assume that it was a love thing. Maybe knowing this work universe, it could still be a story of rape and kidnapping and shit. But the point being, we don't know. But that was the original thing that started the War of the Five Kings, which was the war that Robert Baratheon won and ended up becoming the king that we meet in season one. All that to say, Jon got some Targaryen in his blood, possibly, and that might be why he could touch the dragon.
Only the third person that we know on the show, I believe, that's touched one.
Him, Tyrion, and Dany. And
yep.
People think maybe Tyrion may have some Targaryen blood in him too, possibly. Dany was kind of surprised that this nigga touched the dragon. I was like, damn, he let you touch him? And when she got off, she was like, they beautiful, aren't they? And John was like, I need a new change of pants, but yes.
How much pissed did, because I'm sorry, you pissed your pants.
Right. No way. You did not piss your pants, that big ass dragon in your face, cuz.
Side note, I don't know, I said it on my show, but
yeah.
The dragon budget, dog.
Oh my god, that shit looked so real.
It was beautiful.
It looked like Danny was actually riding the fucking dragon.
Dog, when it blinked, like when they showed the eye close up, I said, man, this is why they ain't have a battle this week. They spent everything on the dragons.
Right. Yeah. And Drogon, when he landed, he ran up on John too. I was like, there's no way you did not piss your pants.
Right.
Hey, but I got Maximus. Maximus is a Rottweiler.
Mm-hmm.
He's the nicest dog in the world, but when he runs up on people, people get scared,
right?
Because he's fucking big. This is a goddamn dragon.
Come on.
Hey, and John stood his ground, though, like, shit. If you don't go out, I'm going to go out like a G.
Dog. Like,
look that.
Like, I know that it's some type of weird aunt, nephew, incest shit going, but, bruh, that nigga never looked sexier in his life than not being afraid of a dragon. Because your boy would have jumped off the cliff. I'm like, oh shit, I thought he was gonna eat me then. Yeah, like
taking chances.
You took my knife already, you took my sword, what the fuck you want me to do?
you know, again, you know what another thing that's always found funny? Like, people going, John and Danny can't get together. That's aunt and nephew. Nigga, we got
right
brother and sister fucking that have fucking had at least, what, three kids together?
Right.
With maybe a fourth in the way? Nigga. Right. Aunt and nephew fucking ain't that big of a deal for me right now.
And all the in the story goes that all the Targaryens intermarry anyway.
Right.
So like they got a whole lot of fucking like, you know, three finger baby type shit going on over there. So
I'm sorry, aunt and nephew fucking might be the most like compared to what the Lannisters are doing.
Right.
Shit, man, I ain't got.
So. Yeah, I mean,
technically,
ahead.
He only like half Targaryen, like
right.
He ain't 100%.
Right.
This is a West Virginia marriage. Yeah.
Like, you know what the problem is? Those two motherfuckers are the most beautiful people on the show. So, like, it's hard to have them in a scene together where they standing a half an inch from each other's face without being like, kiss her. You know what I'm saying?
You fool.
Like, it ain't our fault. You know what I mean? It's not like we saying John and Sansa. Although right. That is technically less incestuous.
But it's not like we
shipping them. We understand the dynamics. The woman who plays Sansa is a beautiful girl.
She is.
But we understand the dynamics. Like, but they are clear and they're clearly putting it in the story. This isn't us making it up. They be standing super close, looking at each other all in their eyes and shit. I'm like, they gonna end up incestuously smanging, man. It is what it is.
Wasn't like one of her old husbands like fucking her brother?
Yes.
Yep.
Come on, dog. Like, I'm yeah. sorry. Danny, you can't tell me Danny and fucking John fucking is any less disgusting than it's the least disgusting thing we've seen on the show at this
right.
point.
Yep.
It's the least.
Right. I mean, people still rooting for the twincest. I feel like, you know, we're well within our rights to root for John and Danny to get together.
Wait, twincest? What's going on with that?
Twincest. Cersei and Jaime are twins.
Oh yes! Oh yeah! Come yeah. on!
Wow!
Like it's not just incest; it's twincest.
Like with we was three kids
at the same time.
Right, right.
Everything though, so I mean, it makes sense.
That's true. See, so John is like, yeah, I touched the dragon and shit, and she was like, yeah. He was like, they gorgeous beasts. She was like, they not animals; they my kids. And John was like, yeah. So you came back fast.
Like fucking crazy.
He's like, okay. Anyway, that trip was fast. Everything went well, I'm guessing. She's like, yeah, I burned some niggas up. You got a problem with that? He was like, I mean, I'm a little bit conflicted. And she was like, well, was you conflicted when you did the Battle of the Bastards and killed all them people? And he was like, I mean, a little bit.
You're right.
But she's like, look, we can only help from a position of strength. I want to help people. That means I got to kill people. And sometimes strength is terrible. Now, what's this shit I heard about you taking a knife to the heart and living?
Right.
And John was like, you know, Davos be lying and shit. You know,
making shit up. That ain't real.
I don't know why he's so ashamed of that shit, but he's like, nah, I mean, you know, listen, let me tell y'all something. If I got stabbed in the chest and got taken back to life, I'd be talking so much shit to y'all. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell me shit. And this motherfucker came back to life and like, I don't talk about that.
Oh, nigga, I'd be walking around shirtless.
Come on. Come on.
How'd you get that scar? Oh, nigga just took a knife to the chest.
It'll be like that episode of Family Guy when Def broke his ankle and Peter started going out doing betting people money he couldn't die and right. He kept winning. Like, that's what the fuck I be doing. Jumping from buildings and shit. Be like, resurrection, I'm back. At any rate. So John said Davos be lying, and before they could get into it, the Dothraki rolled up and they like, we got a friend for you. And it was Jorah with a mixtape full of Babyface to hand to his girl so he could get back in the friend zone.
Yes, he handed that some Babyface. I give you the sun, the moon. Yes!
He showed up and said, I'll pay your rent. Come on. I said, this nigga made his simping ass beat the Dragon Age to come all the way back. Yes. And be with his boo.
Yes, he's like, as soon as I get home from work.
But you know my theme song for Jorah. Y'all won't be able to hear this on Skype, but everybody in chat room. This is my theme song.
What you won't say, what you don't, I did it just for you. I did it just for you. I did it just for you. And you just don't care.
listen, he would do it just for you, and she don't never care. But she was excited to see her buddy, you know,
her pal.
Hey gosh, you know, gave him that nice punch in the shoulder you do with your friends.
My best friend is back,
right? And he's
just like a brother to me,
right. Meanwhile, his dick hard as balls, dog. His dick was so hard.
I'm more disgusted at the idea of Jarrell fucking Danny than I am Danny fucking John.
Yo. Me too.
Right.
Keep your splotchy ass dick away from my girl. He asked if she would allow him to return to her friend zone, and she said it would be her honor. And then Jora hugged her, and then he looked at John like, pretty motherfucker.
right. So this is your new man?
Right.
Your new man, okay.
I done got all this moisturizer, fixed my face and everything. Ain't no blotches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on that proactive plan.
He looked at him like Nino looking at Christopher Williams.
Yeah,
like I never liked that motherfucker anyway.
Mm-hmm, he looked at
John stole somebody on the dragon he touched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looked at him like, you won't last long.
Right. I see men like you come and go in her life.
Right.
The Khaleesi will spit you up and chew you out. That's what Dario thought. Now look at him. I'm still here. George still standing. I'm gonna be the last one. Yeah, George looked like he got a whole ass Twitter page about how she don't like nice guys and choose to date thugs.
John eating them dragon juices that he got from petting Drogon and be like, hey, Jor-El, yo, small my fingers, yo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Motherfucking dragon?
what my fingers smell like, Jor-El?
Dragon juice.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he like, I don't like that shit. Have to drop a dime on that nigga. So then Varys and Tyrion are in a room where Varys has also received a raven from Winterfell, the overnight delivery service.
Mm-hmm.
And they was in the room looking like some old Kappa niggas are protesting the right way ass white people. Tyrion was rationalizing Danny burning down the Tarleys, the smithereens. And Varys was basically like, Tyrion, you should feel responsible for that shit. You should have convinced her not to kill them niggas. And he was like, man, I mean, I didn't do it. And Varys like,
right.
Varys like, that's what the fuck I used to say. I used to bring her daddy all the traitors to burn alive, and I used to be like, I didn't do it. Even when I watched them niggas burn the smithereens, I'd be like, yeah, that's on him. But it's really on me too. And Tyrion was like, well, Danny not her crazy ass father. And Varys said, she never will be with the right counsel. You need to find a way to make her listen. And Tyrion said, who's that scroll for anyway? And Varys like, it's a sealed message for the Lord of the King of the North. You know, I wouldn't look at this. And then Tyrion was like, so what did it say? And
right, then, like, nigga, I know you read it.
Varys like, nothing good. I read it. Yeah, that's interesting, man, because I still feel like Varys could easily betray Danny if he hasn't already.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way he be talking.
She gonna fuck him up.
Well, I think that's why, remember, he was told that you're gonna die here. Mm-hmm. So I think he will try to do that because what he's telling, I think the reason why he said that to Tyrion, because Tyrion's right, he's like, yo, listen, I tried it. You know, they had a choice. Like, they had a choice, and we did everything we could so that she didn't burn them alive. They didn't listen. They made their choice. I think Varys knows that the reason why he doesn't like that is because he's not the one that's – he doesn't have any control. Mm-hmm. He can't control what Danny's going to do like he would every other queen or leader that he's been in the ear of.
Right.
She's not like that. She's very – she's unpredictable.
Yep. So then we see John holding the note and basically says he thought Bran was dead, but Bran let him know that the White Walkers were headed to Eastwatch, you know, because he thought his whole family was dead. Arya, Sansa, Bran. What I did find interesting is the note didn't say, John, you're also not a Stark. He holding that one for the face-to-face, I guess.
Right, I believe so, yeah.
So now he has to leave to go to the north because the White Walkers are coming, and he's gonna take the dragon glass that he collected and fight with the army that he has, which didn't have the numbers. And they like, if you don't have the numbers, you're gonna lose. And Tyrion said you need to convince Cersei to agree to an armistice by kidnapping a White Walker and show her that this shit is real. and we kidnap one White Walker, get it somehow separated from the other ones and lock it away somehow and bring it to Cersei and them. Varys is like, Cersei won't even listen to you, Tyrion. So what the fuck you talking about? And Tyrion's like, Jaime will listen, but we gotta sneak in. And that's why they snuck into King's Landing earlier when they met with Jaime. Mm-hmm. And everybody looked around, and Davos is a smuggler. He was like, I could do it, but I ain't a fighter, so the cops pull us over. I'm gonna just try to talk our way out of it. We might get killed. But luckily, Gendry was there, so, you know, they survived that ordeal, as we talked about earlier. And I liked how Tyrion tried to act brand new, like he ain't never snuck into nowhere before. Nigga, you don't do nothing but sneak in places.
I'm about to say, that's your whole life.
What are you talking about? You been snuck in everywhere you went except King's Landing, dog. You used to have a whole ass tunnel for hoes. Come on, bruh. Jorah volunteers to go get the motherfucking White Walker, y'all. To kidnap the White Walker that has never, ever been done before. Some of y'all don't believe in. He said, let me be a service, my queen.
What you don't say, what you don't, I did it just for you, I did it just for you, I did it just for you, and you just don't care.
Yeah, he did it just for her, y'all, again. She even looked at him like, damn, for real, nigga, you pressed.
You just got here.
It's like,
we ain't had time to have a good sleepover, and you gone already?
Right.
Sleepover, that's good.
Right, he didn't even get to sleep in a nice bed.
Come on.
So then John was like, yeah, well, he won't be alone because the wildling people ain't gonna believe Jor. So they gotta see me. I'm the king of the north,
and I was out there with him.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm gonna go up there, I'm gonna lead a raid, we're gonna kidnap White Walker, we're gonna come back here, and we're gonna fucking show Cersei I'm the only one that fought him. And Danny said, I ain't say you could go. And John said, frankly, I don't need your permission. I'm the king. And I went here knowing that you could have cut my head off at any point. You took my weapons, you took my boat. I still hung out because I trusted a stranger, because this is the best chance for my people to live. Now asking you to trust a stranger because this is our best chance for everybody to live. And she was like, all right, then. Because she loved when a man buck up to her for some reason.
Yo, they gonna be fucking. Like, I'm sorry. Right? That whole entire exchange, she didn't even say that I didn't give you permission to leave yet. That was like one of those playing, I didn't tell you could leave yet.
Right, yeah.
Like, come on. They fuck.
You just gonna leave without giving me my hug? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Davos is preparing Gendry to meet John. He takes him over to meet John. He's like, don't tell him that you robbed bastard. He don't need to know. Last thing he needs to know is all the responsibility for smuggling a fucking, you know, a king's bastard back to Winterfell. Just tell him that your name is Clovis, and you're a blacksmith, and you're heading to Winterfell to look for a job. As soon as that motherfucker met John, he was like, I'm Gendry, I'm the son of Robert Baratheon. Let's be friends.
He was like, I'm not here for no games. Here's my whole hand in space. This is what I got.
Here's my resume. I like to be your Facebook friend as well.
Here's my business card.
Are you on LinkedIn? You know,
Cause the nigga gave him a name Clovis. You ain't gonna get nobody to get a fake name Clovis who's gonna use that name Clovis.
Right.
Especially when you got a cool ass name like Gendry.
Mm-hmm. Right. They showed up like, we bastard brothers. And they dapped up. And then John was like, oh, I remember you. I've seen you before. You used to be fat. And Gendry was like, now you short. You used to be tall. Look at me. I done glowed up. And then they had decided to join up on John's mission, and he was like, you need to have a sword or some shit. He was like, I don't need a sword, but I got a hammer. And then that was like, he is good with that hammer, but y'all sure y'all want to do this? Better to be a coward for a day and live than die for the rest of your life or some shit. And Gendry was like, man, I can't go through my whole life fucking hiding in the shadows. Like, I gotta live, bro. So
call this nigga Gendry fucking Thor, yo.
He did. he got that hammer, bro. And Davos is like, well, what the fuck do I know? I'm just an old man in a world where all y'all niggas died 20, but okay.
People don't make it to my age.
Y'all got it though. then Tyrion tells Jorah goodbye, says that he missed him because nobody glowers quite like you, not even, Grey Worm. Mm-mm. And he gave him the coin that the slaver gave them both when they was chained together and was gonna have to fight in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
and he said for him to keep it. And then Danny said goodbye to Jorah as well. He kissed her on the hand and he went to say something, and then John slid up like Joe in an old R&B video from the 90s. That nigga showed up just out of nowhere. All the things your man won't do, I'll do it for you.
Yes.
That nigga slid up. Also, I know Joe was like, this nigga.
Yes, a night cruise and a yacht. Yes.
He hit her with the deep voice nigga from Boys and Men.
Right.
Baby, I'm sorry.
Right. Bruh, he showed up and was just straight up just glowing on this motherfucker. And they had a nice little sweet goodbye where he was like, well, look, if I die, at least you can stop worrying about the king in the north. She was like, but I've grown used to him.
Nigga, they fucking.
Right.
They fucking.
Sploosh. And you want to know. And you want to know the splooshiest part of it, though? The splooshiest part? He didn't even flirt back. He right. said, at least, he said, I wish you good fortune in the wars to come, and did a little, like, head nod and walked off with his sword. And I said, he gonna get them draws.
Right.
Good God.
That's that Return of the Mac playing in the background when right? he walked off.
That was super filthy, dog.
Because he's the only one that's not thirsty for
it. Right. Like, you know, Daria would have said some old, like, and when I get back, I'm going to tear that pussy up. You know what
yes!
I mean? Like, John was like, nah, I'm not
I'm
cool with
that
it.
About that business, dog.
And you know she's curious? Because she asked Masandi what that mouth do. And
yes,
the only two people we know that go down on women in this whole show is Grey Worm and John. I'm saying it's the writing is on the wall, y'all. It's right there if you read the tea leaves. So then... They pushed the boat out to sea, and Jorah took one last look back for the spank bank. John was just focused on the mission at hand, and that was the end of what happened up there. And that's pretty much every storyline. We got to do the feedback as well, and then we'll talk about.
We're gonna talk about
what we think is gonna happen next week.
We didn't cover like why the plan, while it seems stupid, is a good plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead, please.
So my whole thing is like everybody's focused on them bringing the white back for Cersei. It's not even her; it's everybody else. Like Danny exactly. doesn't even believe
them. Right. This is the thing. They need Danny's army. Even the right. armistice is not because they think Cersei gonna send her army up there. Cersei right. is crazy. I think the only thing they want to convince Cersei of, and really by Cersei I really mean Jaime, is don't attack us and fuck up the world. By attacking us while we're fucking killing the White Walkers.
Because
if the White Walkers kill us, they coming for you, then you're going to rule over our Ice Kingdom. Now, I will say the hugest hitch in this plan is, of course, Cersei's so fucking crazy. I'm not 100% convinced that if she gets her mercenary army before they fucking kill them White Walkers, that she won't just go up there and fucking attack them in the middle of that shit.
Oh, she definitely is. She's definitely going to do that.
So it's a timing thing. Can you get this done before she has time to recruit a mercenary army? It's the only thing I can, the only way, and hopefully get the Unsullied to march back to protect Dragonstone with the Dothraki in the meantime. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's going to be some tricky ass timing, and I really can't wait to see what the fuck they do.
And they still got convinced Danny.
Yes.
John in the North still doesn't have enough people to even defend the North from the Night King. So right. they still need Dany and her dragons to help them with that.
Right.
So they gotta do this mission. There's nothing else they can do. Because if they don't do it, the people in the North get slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has no other fucking, there's no good option for him at this point.
Right.
He has to do this though. And like he said, he's the only one that can deal with the wildlings because nobody else, the races are more than anybody else deal with them.
Right.
So he's got to do it. It sucks, but he has no other fucking choice.
Yeah, it's all a timing issue. And Tyrion, that's a brilliant plan. I just hope they don't do something like catch a White Walker and then find out once you get past the wall, the motherfuckers fall apart or some shit.
Right.
Like that shit would sizzuck. But yeah, they got to do something to convince Danny. My guess is, even if that happens, they got to keep Jorah alive, because Jorah's the one that she would believe.
Right.
There's exactly. No way she wouldn't believe Jorah. Like everybody else, she like, I don't know you niggas, whatever y'all say, okay.
Yeah, if Jorah come back, and Jorah
says,
like,
I seen one. Real? She gotta believe it. I just hope, yo, what if Jorah gets killed? They resurrect that motherfucker as a White Walker, and that's what they bring back, a dead White Walker Jorah.
That would be crazy. She'll believe him then.
She'll definitely believe it. Watch her be sad. She go, watch her be like, I was just about to give him some pussy. Damn.
yo, White Walker Jorah gonna be like, for real, nigga?
For real.
Like, that's what he brings.
White Walker Jorah be like, this some bullshit, man.
Right. I just got killed to rock AIDS, and now I'm a zombie.
I just made a promise that if he made it back, I'd finally break him off just a little bit, but oh well.
Married next year, if I made a promise that if we're both 35,
yeah, yeah, oh man, all right, so you know, I guess we'll do
that episode of Family Guy where Lois thinks that Peter's dead, and so she marries Brian, mm-hmm. and then Brian's like, you know what, it's okay, like, Lois, you go, we'll get divorced, you go back. She's like, thank you, Brian. Cause man, one more day, we were gonna have sex. We were gonna push those beds together.
Yep.
And Brian is like, are you fucking serious right now? Right. Just one more day. One more day.
One more day. I've been jacking off in the bathroom all these years. Okay. all right. So we got some feedback, and then we'll talk about what's gonna happen next week or what we think is gonna happen. Okay. Don't let me forget, Karen.
Okay.
Chizzy writes in, hi Rod and Karen, I'm behind and I just got through a part of the recap for the roast of the Lannisters. Everyone thinks Bran's closeness to Arya is foreshadowing that Sansa is going to betray them, but what if it's about Arya? What if he is getting emotional because Arya isn't going to make it? This makes me super sad because I love Arya, but what if this is foreshadowing that Arya won't be around long and Bran is emotional because he knows she's going to die soon? I say this because during this episode, Sansa tells Arya, can't wait till Jon sees you. Whenever I hear something like that, I assume it's not going to come to pass. You never know. Bran also said he needs to talk to Jon when he first got to Winterfell. Sometimes that shit happens, sometimes it doesn't on this show.
Right, and Bran seen things in bits and pieces because he said he seen it at the crossroads, so he didn't know which direction she was actually going to go.
Yeah, he don't know everything. I don't think, or at least he has to put it all together.
Like, he quote unquote knows everything without knowing everything. Like, stuff is slowly coming to him.
The thought of this makes me sad. I can't let go of Arya. She got to make it. My heart would break. Sincerely, I'm just saying. Well, I think you getting sad for no reason. You gotta let shit happen on this show for you get preemptively sad.
Yes.
Them Thrones. Khalif says, sup, Rod, Karen, and guests. So now that Sam's brother and dad were killed, like Scorpion's fatality from Mortal Kombat, wouldn't that make Sam the head of the household? And if mm-hmm. when he finds out, he can lead his family's army to help with Winterfell?
Oh yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Look, I think his family army just took that L to Cersei, and they already I think they already is down with the queen, or they burned to death. So I mean, she got them.
He took the whole army up there.
Yeah, them her peoples now.
All 50 of them that's left.
Right. He is mature, but I doubt he can be the leader type. It will help with Jon's numbers, but word to Cersei might just run their house. Yeah, I think his soldiers, that's not gonna be a problem. With Bran, Google image search for the White Walkers up and running. I hope he develops a group chat with his family to coordinate their fight with the dead when they arrive. And people need to keep an eye on Sam when he comes for a visit. This dude always stealing people's shit, then leaving like a thief in the night.
Bran got that Google map. It was like, you'll arrive at your location in 45 days.
Mm-hmm. And then the Night King looked at that shit and said, no, you won't. And people need to keep an eye on Sam when he comes off his. Oh, yeah. Jamie is starting to feel intimidated by Euron now. He asked Cersei if he's the father. Yeah. No, he didn't ask if he was the father. He asked who would she tell the people was the father. He know he the father. She ain't never had no baby that's not by him. He probably thought Euron slept with her while he was being an impossible white man. Nah, that's not what happened at all. All in all, it was a good episode, surprisingly without a big what the fuck moment with like the previous episodes, but I know it'll pay off big next week. Keep up the great work, you two, and the guests that are reviewing with you. Thanks, man. Thank you. Nick writes in, Karen, Rod, and company. While I have loved the last few action-packed episodes, this episode came at the perfect time. For all of the battles we've seen, the political intrigue and the secrets coming to light in this episode set up the rest of the season and next season very nicely. I'm glad Robert's bastard son has returned. I've missed his storyline as it adds huge element to the drama as to who would sit on the Iron Throne. His instant connection to Jon Snow was great to see. You can see the camaraderie between them that existed between Ned and Robert. Yeah, someone on Twitter said it'll be crazy if Gendry was a spy.
Oh God.
Yeah, I was like, that shit would blow my mind, bro. He waited 6 years for Davos to show up to join Jon. Like, how the fuck would he even know that was gonna happen?
Right.
Arya is sneaky, but Littlefinger is sneakier. I tried to read the message from the note, but could only make out a few details. It appears Sansa was sharing a secret with one of her siblings involving Joffrey. Well, if you listen to this far, you already know what it is. Now that Arya and Baelish both know, it'll be interesting to see which of them Sansa sides with. Yeah, well, when you hear this, you'll know what we talked about. Mm-hmm. Judging by her coldness with Arya in this episode, it won't be surprising to see her take Littlefinger's side, especially if it's an alliance with him that secures her a throne. For everything Sansa has experienced, she must crave power and security, which is why I think she'll side with Littlefinger over Arya, which probably explains why Bran is more affectionate with Arya than Sansa. Probably the note is connected with the Valyrian dagger we saw return last week. Well, we know everything that was on the note, like I told you. It'll be interesting to me, though, to still see how those alliances form, because honestly, Arya and Sansa are one conversation where they don't have an attitude from fixing all this.
Right.
It's just crazy to watch, because when two people really fucking don't fuck with each other, even when they need each other, they can't see it. But neither one of them niggas could make it without each other having they back. I don't know why they... Like, you know, unless Arya want to live away from her family and the life of a faceless man for the rest of her life, which I don't think she wants.
I'm not sure, but I could see her leaving.
But see, she always been like, I'm Arya Stark. That's the one thing she never let go. True. It's the reason she couldn't really finish her faceless man training. She was like, I need Needle. I need to be me. I just wanted to learn these skills. Man, that would hurt my heart if she walked out of the Winterfell like, fuck my family over Sansa, but who knows? You'd have to be, and by the way, people keep saying Sansa was cold towards Arya. They were cold towards each other.
That's true. They both had attitudes.
Yeah, they both came in there ready to fight. You'd have to be crazy to walk beyond the wall and toward the army of the undead. But if I had to put together a squad who could survive the trip, this is the squad I roll with. We're seeing Westeros version of the Golden State Warriors. Tormund, Jon Snow, the dude with the patch who keeps being resurrected. The Hound, Robert's son, and Jorah Mormont. It's the deepest squad I've seen since 2000 Portland Trailblazers. All they had to do was catch one White Walker. They may be able to pull this off. The problem isn't catching one White Walker. The problem is not catching them all, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I ain't never seen a White Walker off someone taking a piss. lastly, unbeknownst...
No lone wolf White Walkers.
Lastly, unbeknownst to Sam... He got his own castle finally, and he doesn't even know it. Now that his father and brother got hit with the old Dracarys, Sam could live it up as a king. Instead, he going to keep getting his learn on and head north to help Jon. Until we all get consumed by the White Walkers, keep doing amazing recaps. You all do the best job making sense of this crazy continent of Westeros. All the best, Nick. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Rob writes in, well, they came up out of the water away from danger, but I love the dragons are where our partnership ends, line from Bronn. Tarly kept that schism up to the last possible moment. All that foreigner talk, he wanted to make Westeros great again, and all that trash, good for him and his son catching that flame together. But this week Drogon doesn't seem to have any problems resulting from that scorpion shot. No wounded wing, shoulder, or anything. Yep, that shit did not work. Every time I see the Northerners with their furs, I think of the Migos t-shirt video, but like The Walking Dead, I never can understand the weather. Jon from the North continues to wear his fur and heavy clothes when like it's cold outside. The Dothraki that are used to the desert and plains in the sun are out there with no sleeves on. Jon ain't hot down south, but what do I know? Jorah's out here blushing over Danny, but Danny seems to be digging Jon now. Jorah gonna be in the friend zone for life. Yep. Sam out here missing out on important info about that annulment because of his frustration. Cole, they didn't tell him about his fam. Seems everybody on the show is connected, but no one gets 5 minutes to talk to each other and figure that stuff out. Yeah, that was one of the coolest parts about this episode. everybody sitting in that cell figuring out how they know each other.
Right.
I'll be waiting for that in every episode. When two people meet, I'll be like, oh, figure out how y'all know each other. And they never do. Sam could have found out about John's peeps. Jor could have told John that Sam cured him, and on and on. Yep. And at least chat on these long boat rides or something. And I wondered if Finger was able to double ninja the ninja Arya. I felt like he knew she was watching. And he did, apparently. And Tormund is slick, salty that John didn't at least bring Lady Brienne with him. How are they going to catch just one White Walker waiting for next week? Also, the Baratheon ambassador is the smallest dude I ever seen opt for a Warhammer. That's so true. At least those are usually reserved for the Hound, or at least people Tormund's size. How is he going to hike north to the wall and have lengthy battles? Man, he got all them years of rowing, bruh.
Come on, he's strong.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer writes in, Dear Rod and Karen, first of all, I have to say I love y'all's show. I legit can't get through these expense reports without hearing Karen's laugh. That laugh is intoxicating.
Thank you.
Nevertheless, I just had to hit y'all up. Just after 10 minutes of watching the Thrones, as soon as I saw Jamie pop up out the water on the other side in the lake, my heart stopped. You predicted exactly what was gonna happen, dog. It legit made me want to ask you for the lottery numbers, because y'all clearly walk around with Miss Cleo abilities. Like, how did y'all ass predict that them niggas would pop out the damn water just a breathing and shit? That scene had my blood pressure in Carney Wilson. Mm-hmm. Then y'all predicted that Jaime would tell Cersei about Lady Olenna killing her baby. Jesus, I legit couldn't breathe. I had to instantly turn off the app and contemplate how I can get y'all to make my student loans disappear with all that sorcery. I told people, man, you know what's crazy, dog? On my Twitter, when I talk about this show, if I predict anything, I get niggas hopping my mentions mad as fuck. Like, no, it can't go the way you just said. And I be right so often. No one ever hits me back up and says, my bad, Rod.
They don't care.
Not once. Nobody's like, yo, you know what? I thought that shit was crazy that you said, but that's exactly what happened. I should save those tweets and go back and fucking shame y'all, but I don't.
Yo, I gotta ask you, people really think Jamie was dead?
No, they thought, well, yes, some people thought he was dead. Some people thought he was gonna, like, get that armor stripped off of him or something and survive, or, like, you know, just something like, or he was gonna get captured. Yeah. They would pull him out of the water, but it would be like the Dothraki or some shit. And I was like, yeah, he just gonna pop up on the other side and nothing gonna happen to him, and I'm gonna be mad as fuck.
People must have to watch the preview after, like, cause right afterwards, they show the nigga talking to Cersei in the preview.
Yeah, I saw that preview, and the thing is, the way they cut it, I mean, I thought it was Jamie. But the way they cut it, they don't show Jamie. They show her say that line about, we will crush our enemies and dragon queens and shit. I'm like, she telling Jamie that crazy shit.
Yeah, you know? I'm with you. I thought everybody knew that.
Yeah.
That's why I was so shocked. I was like, she's talking to Jamie.
The only way they could have done that would have satisfied me is they show like a brief 30 seconds of Bronn stripping his armor off underwater and them swimming. That's the only way, bro. Like, it already was gonna be a far-fetched bullshit, and they said that shit was a river, but that shit like a lake. It wasn't flowing at all. Mm-hmm. That's another way they could have done it. If it would have been a raging river, and he fell in this raging river, and it carried him downstream, maybe. But nah, the way they did it, fuck that shit.
He like dipped in the pond.
Right. Fuck that shit. Anyway, please keep up the good work. I will forever be a huge fan. I even put my mama onto the show. If she listens, then true me, y'all are hella on. Love, hugs and kisses, Miss Jennifer. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
That's dope. Appreciate you. Hey, Miss Jennifer's mom. Hi. Shaquita said, two-part question. Where do you think Euron Greyjoy is? Let me tell you where Euron Greyjoy is. Whatever the least you fucking expect that nigga.
Right.
Somewhere on the ocean with a motherfucking Game Genie cheat code popping up and fucking up plans. I don't know where he at, but he scared me on that ocean. Like, I think they could fuck him up on some land, but I would not fuck with this nigga on the ocean in any circumstances.
He said he owned all the seas, dog.
Listen, he scared. People try to act like that shit wasn't scary. Nigga, that ship with that shit is scarier than Pirates of the Caribbean. That motherfucking drawbridge ship contraption shit he got.
Yeah, y'all about to die.
He landed on a nigga before he killed anybody. He just like, sploosh. Ha ha, I'm crazy. And he enjoyed getting hit and shit. Nah, man. He like them white people that hit themselves when they start fighting.
You be like, I don't want to fuck with you.
Right. You like, this nigga hit himself in the face. Anyway, we haven't seen him since episode 2. And do you think he could be the real father Cersei's baby? Ha ha, have a good show. No, he's not. Y'all, I really think it's cute that y'all think Cersei will really let this nigga sully her bed with his penis, dog. She only fuck her brother, dog. It's not going to happen.
Nobody else.
If they win the war and he try to collect on that, she is going to have him killed.
You know what? I believe that. I could see her doing that.
Thrones, y'all. This is from Iman. She says, y'all, Game of Thrones gave us another Dracarys episode. Ryder, Karen, I was screaming at my TV. Shut the fuck up, Sam. Gilly out here trying to give us all the tea from Real Housewives of Westeros, and he too busy having a hissy fit. You knew those ashy old meisters weren't going to listen to you. That means John is a legitimate heir. They should have named the episode Into the Dragon because I was too hyped about all the possibilities. I hope by season 8 they're going to reveal one more secret Targaryen. 3 dragons, 3 riders. That would be awesome. Oh, that would be awesome. My question is, well, my thing now is, I really hope that just because we find out John can control the dragons possibly, they don't feel like, well, now we can kill one of them off. Like, for redundancy's sake, like, you know, like, oh, something happened to the Khaleesi, and then John got on the dragon, you know what I'm saying? Because niggas gonna be mad.
Yeah, now I can understand that.
I loved how Drogon swooped down on John like you do your favorite cousin at the family reunion. Drogon was like, hey, cuz, doth mine eyes deceive me? Come give your big cousin Drogon a hug. Dragons recognize dragons. Yeah, except he like that one real hood cousin that just got out of prison. Because he scared the shit out of John.
Yes,
that cousin is also extra aggressive.
Yeah, like that cousin that work out a lot and used to give you noogies and shit back in the day.
All right, this buff.
Yeah, he used to bully you to make you tough.
Now you 26 and he's still trying to bully your ass?
Right. Like he be in front of your kids calling you by nicknames you hate and shit. Come here, PP boy. Come here. Like, oh, this nigga.
Like, his name is PP boy?
I know. Be like, daddy, you told us not to pee on ourselves. Shut up.
Right. Jamie better tie Taylor out of there. He must have forgotten how crazy pregnancy can make a woman, because I know Cersei was probably the worst pregnant. I almost murdered my brother for eating my food when I was pregnant. All I wanted to do was stab him. I just didn't want to end up in jail, so I just cried. Little brothers are the worst. Cersei is definitely the type of person to kill. See, this is my thing. She's the kind of person that if she killed Jamie, I'm not sure she'd be sorry.
Oh, she wouldn't. She wouldn't blink twice.
Right. Because when Tommy jumped out that window, she ain't cry at all.
She was like, nigga deserved it.
She be like, niggas can't, better stop betraying me. Cersei's already.
She to him like, niggas die every day, B.
Right, niggas die every day. I don't know why y'all looking at me.
What?
Cersei is already all types of crazy, and you got her pregnant again. He looks so scared. The face you make when you should have pulled out. Ha! He better leave or smash her head in with that golden hand of his. I'm ready to be super mad at the next episode. Bronn is in a cell because of Cersei. Bronn out here acting like Rod from TSA, looking at Jamie sideways after saving his life. Get out, Jamie. Yeah, Bronn need to leave on the low. I don't know what he waiting for.
Yeah, she might fuck around and have him killed.
Arya doesn't even know who she messing with. That entire sequence reminded me that she didn't really get her full training as a faceless man. You're slipping, little girl. Littlefinger might be the most dangerous man in Westeros, and I think Sansa knows it. She and Arya never had that best relationship. I think Arya is just looking for a reason to see Sansa as the same person and be angry at her. She also hasn't killed anyone in a minute, and her killing hand is probably getting itchy. So much for revealing the episode. That's super exciting. I love Danny's killing music, those cellos, man. Props to the CGI team. Drogon had so much freaking detail. Props to the makeup artist that made Danny's face look wind whipped when she went back to Dragonstone. Enjoy last week's recap episode so much. I listened to it 5 times. So funny. Thanks, Ryder Cam, for all you do for your listeners. Heart emoji. Love y'all and this podcast, Iman. Thank you. Callie C, shout out Coco Cutie says, Karen, Rod, and guests. Let me get straight to the point. I have decided that Sansa ain't shit. And her siblings know it. See, they want us to think she's this sweet, innocent woman just trying to navigate her way through this crazy world, but she ain't. Sansa has clearly been compromised, and it's so easy to see. Arya straight up told her ass last week she knows she out here with her pussy hat on marching, but she really part of the 53%. I'm gonna keep this as short as I can, just a few points. As we know, there are no wasted scenes on this show. Remember when John told her it sounds like she admires Cersei and she was like, I learned a lot from her or whatever? Red flag. She turned into Cersei right before our eyes. She wearing her hair like Cersei before she did the involuntary big chop and everything. She did learn a lot about how to be a power hungry conniving bitch. Jesus. Ah! Brand, you know what, man? Let me tell you something about Cersei though. I get why y'all hate her, but Cersei winning. I'm just saying. Cersei ain't got no dragons. She don't got nothing but pettiness and spite.
She's dead for breakfast. That's what make her, that's in her blood.
Like, I'm assuming she will lose overall. Mm-hmm. But right now, she got a 3-2 lead in the finals over Dany. And I gotta give her credit for getting there that far. I didn't see it in her from season one. Thought she'd be long dead. Two, Bran don't fuck with her. He didn't hug her back. Rewatch it and look at his face when she's hugging him. He looking off into space like, bitch, get off me. He knows. And when they were sitting under the tree, he was telling her about her wedding night. Y'all think she left because she didn't want to think about the rape? Nah, she left because she knows if he knows that, he probably knows about whatever shady shit she been cooking up with Littlefinger. There's no way they are in cahoots. God, I can't wait for you to be wrong. Why the fuck is he still there when everyone hates him? Come the fuck on, dog. The king of the north hates his motherfucking guts, but she let this nigga follow her around. Side eye. Bran knows she ain't shit. Oh, God. I cannot wait for y'all to be wrong about Sansa. She not that smart to do all this shit. You know what this is like? This is like how people write about like Kyrie Irving. And they be like, this nigga betrayed LeBron and he secretly want to do this and he want to be the star on the team. That's why he want to leave. And I'm like, or maybe he just don't want to be a nigga at 27 that's in Cleveland for the rest of his life. Maybe, no offense, Aaron, but maybe, you know, it could be simple. Like sometimes the simplest solution is the truth. I think Sansa mostly just care about being safe. I don't think she wants the throne. Like legit, the only reason she wants the throne in the North is because she wants to be able to stay safe. She'll do anything to stay safe. That's it. But she not really, I don't think she's like Cersei. Cersei is power hungry and crazy. But maybe that's where they're going to take Sansa's character. You never know. Three, the little convo by the tree with Arya where he tells her he saw her at the crossroads. See, Sansa kind of still didn't believe his powers, but when he said all that, she had to accept it and she was shook from that point on. Yeah, she also didn't believe Arya about that list either. She found out both her siblings got superpowers and she ain't get shit.
Mm-hmm. No,
she ain't get nothing for Christmas.
She's like Robin from Teen Titans, how everybody got superpowers. Right. And Robin like, I'm just a regular person with a stick.
Right.
All she got was bad memories.
Right. Four, last thing, Littlefinger is setting Sansa up, but it's the equivalent of when cops frame a guilty person. He needs Arya and Sansa to be beefing. He's just speeding up the process. She wants that throne, y'all. I believe she is doing shady shit to get it. Sansa is plotting, and I see right through her. Watch the fight scene with Arya and Brienne. Every time she gives them a scowl, she looked over at Littlefinger like, are you seeing this shit? She knows they will be a problem for her when they find out about whatever the fuck she's cooking up. Anyway, sorry it's so long, but I don't see it for Sansa no more. One last thing for real. Y'all see how Tyrion and Varys trying to act like Dany setting them motherfuckers on fire was so unreasonable? What did Martin Luther King say about the white moderate? That's how I felt in that scene. I know they don't want her to rule by fear, but I just feel like she should do whatever it takes to win the war. Then she could pivot like a true politician. Also, they probably scared because they know they can get toasted too if they fuck up. Oh well, I have many other thoughts, but this already long enough. LOL, later guys. Yeah, everybody walking around like, what about Danny's emails? Fuck that shit. Win.
Yeah.
Win first. EVE writes in, hi Rod, Karen, Chris, and Aaron. Dracarys bitches, let me tell you something. Danny would not have been able to get the words out before I bent the knee if I was in Tarly's army. Come on. That's why I ain't no black people on this show. Niggas, they would have looked back. Niggas was already on their knees before she asked anything. Ah! She'd be like, listen, I didn't come to murder. Why is everybody on their knees? Damn. Okay.
I guess we ain't murdering nobody today. Nobody.
I guess y'all got the memo. House Jackson is already agreeing. We down with the queen.
No problems over here, man.
As soon as that dragon came out, we was bending the knee. But yeah, man, she had a motherfucking dragon that just burned the shit out of most of the army. Fuck pride. I want to live. I would have been on my knees asking how I could serve her like Stephen serving Calvin candy and Django. Shit, in the end Randall Tarley let racism get him killed because he refused to serve a queen that let brown folks in. I think Danny might be the Hillary of Westeros. Come on. I sort of felt, yo, she really is though. I sort of felt sorry for Dickon because he seemed like a decent guy, but he chose that fire too. Sort of like someone who voted for Trump and realized he made a mistake but refused to admit it in public. So, bye. Yeah, he Paul Ryan. Does this mean Sam is now the head of the Tarley family now that his father and brother are dead, or was there another heir? No, it's just him. How will Sam feel towards Danny since she burned Randall and Dickon? That will be an interesting dynamic. He ain't like them niggas anyway.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He better not act offended, bro. I'll be so pissed if Sam tried to pull that shit.
He didn't care about his daddy. He didn't care too much for his daddy.
He need to thank. He need to thank them. Didn't they disown him? How is Jamie not dead? Fuck him and fuck Bron for saving him. Yep. I think after Cersei's comment to Jamie about Bron being punished for setting up that meme, Bron should probably get out of Dodge. Then again, I don't care if he dies. He can kick rocks. Ooh. Nah, we can't say that about Bron, guys. Come on now. Mm-mm. I don't care what y'all think about Sansa, but come on, Bron. Bron just want to get a paycheck. Man. All of us are Bron. Okay? We have all had a job where we just like, as long as this bitch could just check clear, in the 15, I will show up to work.
Right. When it stopped clearing, that's when you stop getting work out of me.
Yeah, I fuck with Bron heavy, man. Mm-hmm. That's sad to hear. You don't care about Bron. That's my dog. So Cersei is pregnant again and wants everyone to know she's giving birth to another nephew, son, or niece, daughter. They are tempting fate. Even though the first three came out with normal appearances, this one for sure is going to come out with a nose in the middle of his forehead. Gross. Aw. Gendry, it seemed like homeboy leveled up with that hammer. I guess it came from all that rowing. It was good to see him again. And look at Gilly reading and shit. She started from the bottom, now she here. And dropping bombs too about John's legitimacy. Can't wait for John to find out. The little finger, oh, you know what else is good about that? They give it another path for John to figure it out. Cause my thing has always been, if Bran wants to tell John that shit, if something happens to Bran, John will never find out. But now they have another path. Sam could tell him if he ever finished reading that book.
Right.
Did Littlefinger also train at the house? By the way, what if season 8 is just like Citadel showing up, being like, Sam, you got some overdue books.
Oh, well,
you done check these shits out for a season and a half, bro. We're gonna need you to return those. Anyway, just a bunch of ravens with big ass books tied to them crawling on the ground towards the Citadel.
They don't keep track of shit. They might not even know they're missing.
Right. She says, did Littlefinger also train at the House of Black and White? Because how the hell didn't Arya know he was watching her unless she wanted him to see her? I hope they're not hitting that Sansa is plotting with him, because that would suck. It almost seems like they're trying to make it look like she's making a power grab, but she could just be playing Littlefinger at his own game. I just want that motherfucker to die so bad. Hopefully he will this season, because I'm tired of his ass. This ending with Jon Gendry, Jorah Tormund, and the men with no banners was dope as fuck. They should have been playing a dope ass rap beat as it faded to black. However you want it would have been good. I know it wouldn't have fit the show, but I think they could have made an exception for this scene. I'm just super scared that one of them won't make it, because them whites are nothing to fuck with. I hope they have a bunch of dragon glass with them. Another great episode, EV. Thank you. Got a couple more left. This one's a shorter one. Hey, Rod and Karen. After another awesome episode, I just have a couple comments. One, when Bron told Jaime he wasn't going to be around when them dragons came to burn down King's Landing, I died laughing. Because in my head, Bron turned into that stick figure that sings, fuck this shit, I'm out. Yep. Two, the dragon saying, hey, cousin, to John made me smile. Danny looked surprised by it. Three, did y'all notice George side-eyed John every time he saw him? Oh, we noticed. He knows, like we do, that John's going to hit that. Four, John and the others walked outside of the wall looking like the Magnificent Seven. Well, that's it. Thanks all for your great recap. Thank you.
That's true.
Emil writes in, hello, Rod, Karen, and guests. The most important part of this episode was what was only partially articulated. The nigga Samwell was like every fake male feminist in the project. meeting in corporate, yammering on about being marginalized while ignoring then belittling the woman in the meeting trying to drop some extremely important information. That bit about the annulment is important. That is, Rygar annulled his marriage to Eliah Martell, then married Lyanna Stark. It confirms that John is not a Targaryen bastard, but a legitimate heir to the Targaryen house. Also, it means that the commonly held belief that Lyanna was held by Rygar is in the tower could be false. The other important part is when Drogon allowed John to pet him, he figured that nigga smelled like his mom. I was thinking about last week's feedback when the episode opened and Jamie and Bron pulled themselves out the river on some buddy cop and possible white man shit. Needless to say, I was disappointed. The disappointment was mitigated, however, when Bron started his sentence to Jamie with, "Listen, cunt." Yeah, that was good. by the way, as soon as they came out the river, my next tweet, firstly, was what a sight. But my next tweet was, and Bron, Q Bron asking about his money in 3, 2, and that nigga asked about his money as soon as I hit send. I knew it. Brian got a one-track mind. Cersei definitely has spies, most likely Varys in Dany's court. How else could she have known that Tyrion was in King's Landing? Yeah, man, Cersei be knowing too good. I'm not saying it just feel like it's a spy. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it feel like somebody snitching, y'all. And the clues are there every fucking week. She not this smart. She not this smart. Her daddy say she's stupid. Anyway. Also, I wonder if this new child will be curse exempt or will it fall under the jurisdiction of the existing curse. If that baby was stillborn or some shit, I'm convinced Cersei would burn down the entirety of King's Landing and become known as the Mad Queen. How is she not already known as the Mad Queen? She burned up the Sept. Right. She blew it up.
All of everybody in there.
We already know she has no compunctions about mass murder. If Jaime has to kill her, he would be the King and Queen Slayer. That would be dope. Finally, I hope Arya doesn't fall for the okie dokie from Littlefinger. The most distressing thing about this is that Littlefinger is not lost yet. He just keeps getting stronger. He started from the bottom. Now he's has the veil and the Queen of the North's ear. If he is able to alienate Arya, then he could potentially have even more sway with Sansa. What if this nigga ends up on the Iron Throne? Chaos is a ladder. Thanks for the great recaps.
I don't think he wants the throne.
He does want the throne. He said chaos is a ladder. I don't know if you saw we were reviewing it then, but he basically said, because somebody asked him, like, why the fuck are you, I think it was Varys, they was having a sneak off, like a sneaking, just a,
right, when it was alone,
yeah,
right.
And he was like, yeah, man,
Varys don't,
chaos is a ladder to getting to the throne, because Varys is like, you know made quite a name for yourself for a man that was born not of a good family or nothing, but look at you now, you a lord and all this shit. And he was like, yep, it can happen, just gotta kill the right people. Gendry Bale is back, y'all. Just dough stacks. Good evening, Rod, Karen, and House Tips. Aaron from the Astronauts of the Black and Chris of House of Blame and Insanity.
House of Blame?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I hope y'all are all doing good. At this point, I think Bron should up Jamie's debt to 2 castles. It can't be easy being an impossible white man who had to save his heavy ass, love struck ass boss. Especially since Bronn might be the second best combat asset the Lannisters have behind Mountainstein. Jaime not drowning was such a sight given how wide Cersei had his nose blown open. Y'all think Cersei really has a gut full of Jaime, or was that just her trying to reel Jaime back under control? Yeah, we're a little split on that. I think Chris and Aaron think maybe she was lying. I think it's true.
I do too.
Earlier in the season, I said that George Rock A's had him looking like Eazy-E, Westeros Drake all the way back, smiling like a flap with a flapping cape, looking like Magic Johnson. Jorah beat Rock A so he could get back to simping for Danny. Mm-hmm. Jorah ain't Westeros Drake. Drake is Canadian Jorah. Speaking of folks coming back, Gendry is finally back. I hope we get to see more of that absurdly strong nigga swinging that hammer. Clearly a stay ready all star. He really was. That nigga had a bag and was like, let's go fuck all these people. I hope y'all have a great evening. Thanks for all the great shows. Peace. Last one is from Angie. Hi, Rod and Karen. A few comments, but mostly questions. Wondering if Cersei is really pregnant. Qyburn said he could give her something for thee, but then he didn't finish the sentence because Jaime walked in. Qyburn could have been alluding to giving her something for the morning sickness, or it could be some other serious illness, and Cersei is using pregnancy as a cover to keep Jaime under control. Maybe. I don't know. I assumed it was for the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. If Cersei is really pregnant, I wonder how she's going to keep dangling the prospect of marriage in Euron's face like a carrot after announcing she's carrying Jaime's baby.
Oh, Euron don't care?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I could see that nigga be like, I don't give a fuck.
And he already know they fuck. He's like, what, should I put a thumb up her ass? What are you doing?
He was like, am I gonna be king or what? All I want is a kingdom.
When Cersei and Jaime hugged each other and told him not to ever betray her again, that was clearly a threat. And from the look in his eyes, Jaime damn well knew it. He ain't stupid. Jaime had some decisions to make. Wonder when the warlocks from Quarth, the ones that were hunting Dany, are going to show up in Westeros. After all, they did say that power got stronger since the dragons were born. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm putting forth my unpopular opinion again. I still can't get past the fact that Jon Snow's hair is black, and Game of Thrones made a big deal out of Baratheon hair being black, Baratheons being black of hair and Targaryens being white of hair. I still think Jon is a Baratheon, incidentally making Jon and Gendry half brothers. I've always believed that Rhaegar Targaryen and Lyanna Stark had a consensual relationship, not rape. However, she was betrothed to Rob Baratheon, and therefore could have already been pregnant by him when Rhaegar whisked her away. Oh, that's a good point. Never thought of that. As an NC native living in Cali at the moment, I'm so proud of you both. Love, Angie, aka Little Lady Mormont, at @ontheglow_up.
Thank you.
I think that's everybody. Let me just double check. Yep. All right, guys, what are y'all looking forward to next week? I'll start with you first, Carrie.
Me, looking at the previews and looking for what's happening over in the north.
Mm-hmm.
Several things in the north with Arya and Sansa. Trying to see, is the Fantastic Seven gonna make it back? I think we might lose a few members, but I think mission is gonna be accomplished.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Aaron?
I just want to see shit get fucked up. That's really all I care about, and all I predict is that some niggas ain't making it back.
What about you, Chris?
Oh, no, same thing. I'm waiting for to see everybody cry over who dies, because some people's favorites ain't going to make it back, probably.
Mm-mm.
And for me personally, man, I'm looking to see what the fuck is up with Arya and Sansa.
Yeah, that
shit is bothering me a lot. I'm not like, I know a lot of people have already picked a side in that shit and holding shit since season one against that girl. I felt like they both was naive little girls, and sure, I'd rather them both wake up and fuck with each other than the alternative. Cause somebody said, John, come hurry back. Your sisters are fighting and they gonna kill each other. I said, correction, Arya gonna kill Sansa, cause there's no way Sansa could kill Arya. So like, let's just hope that motherfucking they work it out. Cause the alternative, if it get ugly, is I'm more worried about Arya adding Sansa to that list than the opposite, right?
Right.
So that's one thing. Two, I do want to finally see some White Walker action. I fucking love White Walker action scenes. Are probably like low key my favorite on this show.
Yes.
Cause them niggas are a menace. And in the preview, it showed them running like a motherfucker away from the White Walkers.
Yeah, they definitely had that impossible white man run down.
Dude, I really low-key kind of hope that behind the ragtag crew that we all know, there's about 70 motherfuckers that was on that boat with John coming with them. So we have some fodder for the White Walkers to eat. You know what I mean? I love when that shit happens. When, you know what I'm saying? That old Star Trek wearing the red suit motherfucker come with them. Oh, shit. But yeah, man, I would love to see them, like, running from the White Walkers and trying to kidnap one to see what that plan looks like. Wouldn't mind seeing some more Euron. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, because I'm ready for him to joke Jaime for failing that mission. He's going to roast the hell out of him.
Yeah. Oh, he is going to definitely give it to him.
I want to see what his interest is going to be, because Euron has the best interests in Game of Thrones. The nigga came riding a horse all the way up to the throne.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We know what it is. But yeah, that's it, man. Thank y'all so much, brothers, for being here. I know it is fucking late. It's almost 11 o'clock at night. Chris, Aaron, thank y'all so much, brothers. Please go listen to a podcast, okay? Mm-hmm. You got Movie Trailer Reviews, MTR Network. Everything's on places where you find podcasts. And you got Black Astronauts Podcast, and they got a whole ass network too. And we were just on the show recapping Game of Thrones with them.
Yes.
They also come through and help us out to do the Nerd Off every couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really could not ask for better podcasting compatriots and better friends, man. Right. Appreciate y'all. And yeah, until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.